What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of No Winter in San Diego, a sports and comedy podcast that we do once a week where we talk sports and crack jokes while we do it. I'm Black Rob, and as always, I got my boy Dally B with me. What's up with you, D?
Man, I'm feeling kind of depressed, homie.
What's up?
Man, it's motherfucking rain, man. Yeah. It's all gloomy and shit.
Oh, this shit is crazy, homie. I had to drive home last night at about 6:30 or about 6 o'clock when it started raining real hard and shit. Yeah. I thought I was going to die, homie. Yeah. This is some bullshit. We ain't prepared for this.
Hell nah.
Hey, corrupt. What we got, good? We got haters. So, Frank, where biscuits?
You know what's funny? My mom was at Walmart last night when I called her. And I was like, what's up, mom? What you doing? She's like, oh, I'm sitting in the car. You sitting in the car? Where at? Walmart. Why? Oh, it's raining too hard. I'm waiting for it to start raining before I drive home.
That's real shit.
And I was like, hey, okay, all right.
Yeah. That ain't even far off.
Yeah, it ain't.
I had to come from Torrey Pines on the freeway. Mm. Motherfuckers be speeding and shit still. Yeah,
that's why we have so many accidents when it rains.
Mm-hmm. Niggas don't know how to drive out here, man.
Hell nah.
Like, you realize there is water on the road.
Right.
Water is slippery.
You will hydroplane up in this motherfucker.
That's crazy. But hey, man, thanks again to everyone for taking the time to listen, download the show last week, man. We appreciate y'all coming back again for another week. As always, man, thanks for fucking with us. You can find the show on iTunes, on Stitcher, or on Podomatic. Just search for No Winter in San Diego. Hit us up. You send us an email. We'll take the time to read it. Hit us up at nowinterinsandiego@gmail.com. Our Twitter accounts, I'm at Black Rob, BlackRob. Dally B is at DallyBeezy619. He getting a little more active on Twitter. I saw you favorited one of my tweets from last week.
Yeah. And then I accidentally did that, too.
Oh, no, I've seen it. I said, what the fuck is that for? I clicked. I said, oh, okay, all right.
That's funny. That's pretty good.
But yeah, man, hit us up. You can get at us in any kind of way, man. We try to keep it interactive, different ways to find the show. Like we always do, man, we start with the emails, man, with our listener emails, anyone who takes the time to write us. This week we only got emails from a couple people, from Bob and then your brother Calvin. I'm gonna promote Calvin to executive producer as well, because he be hitting us up, giving us a lot of good content. So
well, you know why, right?
What?
When he be at work, he don't be doing shit.
I know, huh?
He be having a gang of time and be on it, you know what I mean? So yeah, he can get all the good stories for us.
Yeah, my tax dollars hard at work. Better do some shit, nigga.
Shit, motherfucking government.
Fill out some spreadsheets.
Yeah,
shit,
do something.
Yeah. All right, our first email of the week comes from executive producer Bob Okewa. He hit us up. I was asking about, you know, a wedding invite. I want to make sure, you know, I'm invited wedding. Right. He says, Black Rob, of course you got an invite. Official date is February 21st, 2015. And of course, it's open bar.
Ooh, we're going to be saucy.
Yes, sir.
Man, I can't wait.
That's one of the first things me and lady went over. I made sure to elect myself president of alcohol supply and distribution. If y'all got specific drink requests, let a nigga know.
I want 2 11s.
Cause you a real classy nigga.
Yeah. Walking around that motherfucker sloppy.
Oh shit, that's good. Yeah, for sure, man. I'm gonna be out there, dog. I'll be there, homie. Appreciate the invite. About to get it cracking. Mm-hmm. Let's see. He sent us another one. Oh, it's cool. We was gonna talk about this, but we'll talk about it now. He sent us about Mike Trout. Mm-hmm. He says, source, Angels, and Mike Trout talking monster extension. Excuse me. What do you think is a reasonable figure for Mike Trout? This is an unprecedented even event in baseball history. There's never been a player this young eligible for such a mega deal. I hope he gets $300 million. Yeah, he about to get $300 million.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, though. This is where the Angels fucked up. Because they signed Pujols. They brought him in before Trout. Because I think that was your Trout had his mom.
They
brought
him up. Yeah.
Yeah. So they wasn't anticipating, you know, Trout coming up and, you know, having that monster year. Mm-hmm. And then they turned around the next year. Oh, no, I think they gave C.J. Wilson a big contract. Mm-hmm. Then the next year they turned around and give Hamilton the big contract. Mm-hmm. So, you know, baseball don't have a salary cap, but at the same time, I don't think they want to be spending, you know, that much money on players. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they got to make a tough choice to where they're going to, you know, break the bank or let that dude go.
See, and that's what's the thing about baseball is the contracts are guaranteed. So, mm-hmm. all that money they gave Pujols, what was it, 250 mil or something like that?
Something like that.
They're on the hook for all of it.
Yeah.
And that's where my thing with baseball is not so much the money per year, because, I mean, that's what it is. They're going to get that wherever.
The but years. It's
the years. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they gave Pujols, who is allegedly 32, I think the nigga older. No, okay.
Allegedly, huh?
No, because, like, okay, so supposedly he the same age as us. Mm-hmm. I look at that nigga. That nigga look old on me.
He do look, you know, about 5, 6 years older.
And you know them Latin players is good for fudging their age numbers. Yeah,
that's true.
So,
that's true. Something you got to think about.
Yeah. You know.
Apparently they didn't, though.
And it's weird, because, like, he fell way off in the last mm-hmm. couple years, mm-hmm. like you would expect for a nigga in his mid to late 30s, you know what
right,
I mean? So
right.
let's assume he's 5 years older than us, right? Mm-hmm. That would put him at 37.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but like you say, though, that's where they fucked up, because Trout, he didn't go only 22 years old, homie. Yeah. He about to be a star for some years.
Years.
And even when he starts to slow down, as the Angels, if you keep him in your organization forever, you make him a DH, you're still going to get production out of him. You know what I mean? You can, you know, say 7, 8 years from now, if he's a step slower, you can move him to one of the corner outfield spots. 10 years from now, move him to the DH. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can't let him go. Bottom line.
Yeah,
whatever it takes, you have to, if you have to trade some dudes away to pick up other contracts, whatever you got to do, you got to sign this dude.
How many years would you give him?
I'd give him 10 years.
10? You want to give him more than 10? Because, well, he's 22 right now?
22.
22. So, at the end of his contract, he'll be 32.
Mm-hmm.
So then you will have to, you know, renegotiate another contract. I would give him something around 15.
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end of that, you know basically where y'all stand. Hey, homie, right? Either you're going to sign for a couple more years or, you know, you can go find something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, oh, this is tough, homie.
Yeah, it said, I'm reading this article right here. It says they're focusing on a 6-year deal right now.
What?
That was, wait, hold on. Both Trout and the Angels have expressed desire to lock up the 22-year-old long-term to a long-term deal this spring, and discussions for now have focused on a 6-year deal that would buy out the first 2 years of Trout's free agency and put him on the open market at 28. So they're trying to lock him up from now till he's 28 and then do another contract.
He's going to be in his prime, though, at that time.
Yeah.
So you really going to have to break him off.
And with the inflation on house salaries keep going up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They know what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
hopefully. But yeah, you basically got to give him whatever he wants to stay. You have to.
And then it has a proposed structure of, you know, what they might be looking at doing. For 2014, $2 million salary and a $10 million signing bonus. Mm. Then in 2015, $13 million. 2016, $22 million. Mm. 2017, $30
million. Mm.
2018, $35 million. At 2019, $38
million. Look at that. Every year, it's like a monstrous jump.
That's actually a real good contract. Yeah. If I'm Trout, I would do that.
Hell yeah, right now.
Because then, like you said, he's going to get another one mm-hmm. in 2019.
From somebody.
At 28 years old.
Yeah.
Woo! That's, damn. I need to call my son and tell him to go pick up a bat.
I'm trying to tell, man. I'm trying to tell these parents, man. Hey, fuck getting your head smashed in. You better go pick up a bat and a glove.
Put that book down, nigga.
Why you read?
Shit. Nah, that's crazy. Yeah, but the crazy thing about all this, just the crazy money that we're talking about right here mm-hmm. is he's worth all of it.
Right.
Every bit of it. There's right. no player in baseball that does everything like he does. Yeah, we ain't seen this since Griffey in the 90s. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You know what the crazy part is? Because him and Harper is around the same age.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, Harper was getting all the hype. I didn't even know who Mike Trout was until he came up.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, hold on, who's this dude for the Angels?
Right.
He can run, throw, hit, catch, everything. So, yeah, man, I mean, yeah, you got to lock that dude up.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. He's worth it, Bobo. I agree with you, man. Mm-hmm. I hope he gets $300 million. The thing is, he's about to get broke off right now. This contract that they're looking, if they do this, you know, 6-year deal, what would that be? Hold on. it'd be 6 years, $140 million right now. He could get a 200, another $200-300 million, like
after that,
right? Yeah, and I think they're close because I was reading this week he signed a 1 year, $1 million contract, mm-hmm. which basically is a, okay, we real close. Mm-hmm. So this is just to keep me here for, you know, this year, right. And by the end of this year we're gonna have like a big contract finalized.
Because that was the most for a pre-arbitration player, right? Ever, you know what I mean? So because they said usually those type players get like around a base salary, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Which is what, like. $200,000-$300,000, I think.
Right.
He got $1 million. Mm-hmm. You know, so. I mean, he doing his thing, man. Hey, shit. Congratulations, shit. I'm happy for you.
For real.
You should get paid for your skill set.
Get your money.
Hell yeah. All
right, the next one Bob sent. Yeah, he said, can't mess up them Nigerian names, blood. It's pronounced Kimdichi. Yeah, the N is like, I was fucking them names up last week. I was listening back to it. I was like, dang, I know that don't sound right. But,
yeah.
Hey, nigga, why you African niggas put so many extra vowels and letters in your name? Put a silent N. No, you don't need that.
That was funny.
Yeah. No, I appreciate the clarification, though, man. Yeah, I was fucking that shit up. Thank you very much for that, though. This one comes from newly appointed executive producer Calvin. Hit us up with a good email, a good question too. He says, what do we expect? He says, how much do we expect these young players to know about baseball history? Sure, we know who Frank Robinson is because we follow baseball. I don't know if I would have did the report like Buck told him to either. I would have told him that I decided to play baseball so I wouldn't have to do any more schoolwork. So, did you see this story?
Nah.
Okay, so what he's talking about? The Orioles had one of their prospects in training, in spring training, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. like teams always do. They have, up-and-coming prospects come to spring training with the big league team workout.
Right.
And so... Frank Robinson mm-hmm. Visited spring training for the Orioles. You know, obviously he's one of the greatest baseball players of all time.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You know, one of the most important baseball players mm-hmm. in terms of black
right.
baseball players, right? He's there at spring training. And Showalter asked 19-year-old prospect Josh Hart, who is black, mm-hmm. If he knew who... he's like, hey, you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
And the 19-year-old was like, nah, I don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
Showalter got high, man. Like, what kid are you here?
What the fuck are you doing?
That's right.
Crazy.
So Buck asked him if he knew who he was. He said no. So mm-hmm. Showalter told him to write a 1-page report on Frank Robinson and have it back to him by tomorrow.
And what did he do it?
Let's see. It's not clear in the article whether or not he did the report or not. Let me see. I didn't read the whole article when Calvin sent it earlier in the week. Mm. I got busy at work.
I probably would have did the shit. I probably would have gone talk to him. Like, man, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm whooping. And, you know, just talk to him. Shit, I ain't got to do no fucking report. Like you said, nigga, I ain't in school. I'm here to play baseball. But it's crazy that he didn't know who that was, homie.
I don't know, man. It depends on how he went about it, right? Because everybody's first inclination and mm-hmm. shit like this is like, oh, it's the white man telling the black kid mm-hmm. to go do some shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
My whole thing is, it's like, yo, man, like, as a baseball player, you should be, I believe you should be a student of the game.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right,
if you're
going,
whatever you do, you should mm-hmm. be a student of the history of the game, right? As a black baseball player, you black in a sport where there ain't that many black people,
right?
And black people have to struggle to get to where they are, to where you have an opportunity to get broke off mm-hmm. in this sport, right? You should have some knowledge on who. So if he was like, if Showalter was like, hey, look, nigger, go write me on that report, then I understand, right?
But
if he was like, hey, yo, look, young man, like, you should know who this is. Like, mm-hmm. this man made it possible for you to be on this field right here today, right? So mm-hmm. what I want you to do is tonight when you go home, instead of playing, you know, 20 games of Madden.
Right.
Go online, come back tomorrow with a 1-page report about this man and who he mm-hmm. is and what he means to baseball, mm-hmm. right? That's not too much to ask.
I wasn't saying it, looking at it like that. Mm-hmm. I just wouldn't have did it because I'm that type of nigga. I'm just defying like that. I mean, I ain't writing no motherfucking report. I'm here to play baseball. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'll go on the internet. I wouldn't have told him that. I was just like, oh, nigga, I forgot. Or I'd have made some type of excuse. Or I had no electricity last night. I don't know, something. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, right, nigga. Yeah. Your fucking big league, the big league manager asked you to do something, nigga, you just do it.
Yeah, you do.
You acting like you wouldn't have did it.
I probably wouldn't have, homie.
Your ass would have been cut.
You know what? If I know I can ball, you know what I mean? But Buck Showalter, he's one of those motherfucking hard-ass motherfuckers. So
I like him as a
man. Yeah, I do too. Wherever he go, he wins. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's doing something right, obviously. So
I think he's really a good fit for young teams, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what a team like the Orioles needed, someone to come in and get the... It's all about getting the most out of your players, man.
Yeah.
And you're not arguing that. He does that.
Yeah, he does. He does. He's always done that, so... Mm-hmm.
Next one from show executive producer Calvin. Sent us a link. This is a good article he sent. It's about players who've recorded the fastest 40-yard dash time at the combine, mm-hmm. and how they've struggled to find success in the NFL. Mm-hmm. This article, some of the dudes listed have struggled, some of them not. Like the first one they listed, running back Chris Johnson, he kind of fell off. But he had some good years for a while. You know, he ran a 4.24 in the 40 at the combine, which is ridiculous. Defensive back Ari Archer. I don't know who that is. Let's see. I guess he's in this year's draft. Yeah, 2014. Mm-hmm. He's a running back.
Was that dude from Kent State?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I read about him.
He went into the combine predicting that he would break Chris Johnson's all-time mark, but came up just a little short. Yeah, he ran a 4.26, so 2/100 of a second.
That's right. That's crazy.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah.
He projects to be a middle to late round draft pick. Let's see. And next one, wide receiver Jerome Mathis ran a 4.26 in 2005.
He played for the Ravens, right?
For the Texans.
Texans?
Yeah. Oh. He only lasted 3 seasons in the league, though. Let's see. Wide receiver Tyrone Calico ran a 4.27. He was taken in the second round of the 2003 draft and finished with 42 receptions. 501. That's it, man. He says his career got cut short by a knee injury. Marquise Goodwin, wide receiver, ran a 4.27 in 2013. Third round pick by the Bills. A lot of these cats ain't really done nothing. Which is interesting you say that, because in Calvin's email he asked, do we see a trend here? He goes, tied for number 4, cornerback Stanford Route.
Oh, we took him in the first round too.
He ran a 4.27 in 05.
Constantly getting hurt in PIs.
12 career interceptions.
Sorry, motherfucker.
Yeah, he was pretty bad. Says he was originally a second round pick by Oakland. Wait, he was a second round pick or a first round
pick? I thought he was a first round pick. He could have been second. I could be wrong.
Wide receiver Jacoby Ford.
That's another Raider guy.
1.28. Cornerback DeMarcus Van Dyke. Another Raider pick.
Yeah.
Do we see a trend?
Nope.
Cornerback Fabian Washington.
Yep. Now he was a first round pick. That's who was out of Nebraska. Yeah, I remember him.
Oh, that was 05. You took both of them, right? You took Washington in the first and then Route in the second.
And they both of them didn't last. Sorry asses.
Wide receiver Darius Hayward Bay.
Okay, let's go to the next
Do we see a trend?
I ain't laughing no more though.
Yo. There's a lot of Raiders on there, homie.
Yeah.
But, you know, that goes back to something we always talk about with the combine. If you take any one stat from a combine and say, oh, now I'm going to draft this dude because of that, then you fucking up.
You fucking up big time, yeah.
Because the combine is just about gathering information, right? It's like when I used to do the investigation thing, right? All we did was gather information. Right. Get as much information as we can to make a final determination, right? There was no, rarely was there any one piece of information that would be like, okay, this person is disqualified or whatever, right? So it's all about getting the whole full picture of the dude.
Right.
But these teams, they look at, they go, oh, he ran a 4.23? Ooh, he fast. We're going to take him in the first round.
But you just going to overlook the fact he can't catch. It's like, come on, man. Like, DHB, me and my brother used to get so fucking mad because he'd be jumping up trying to catch balls with his body, and it's so obvious this nigga can't catch,
right?
But he can run. It's like, man, yeah, that's what we got rid of his ass.
Yeah, man. And you know, on the flip side of that, anybody who looks at one aspect of a combine from the combine says, oh, now we ain't gonna draft this nigga. Like, I think Jadeveon Clowney only put up like 22 something on the reps. It's like, oh, well, he might not be strong. What, nigga, what? Have you not seen this nigga play for his whole career? Like, yeah, man.
Makes no sense, homie.
It's frustrating that these people have jobs, man.
Yeah, right.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it makes no sense. It's really not that hard. You got to look the full picture, get a full look at a dude, and then determine, okay, does he fit what we want to do? Is he a good player? And is he good value for where we want to bring him in?
Exactly.
That's the other thing about Hayward Bay is I don't think anybody had him in, like, the first round.
They didn't.
And y'all took him, like,
because it was funny because that was your Crabtree came out.
Yeah.
So I was like, we need to reach out. Oh, we're going to get Crabtree. Cool. Bob kept texting me, oh, I keep hearing y'all getting Darius Hayward. I was like, who the hell is that? He was like, some dude out of Maryland, woo, woo, woo. I'm like, nah, we better not get that motherfucker. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Number 8 pick. The Raiders select Darius. I said, oh, this motherfucker, homie.
Al Davis used to love that speed, homie. You're like, you can't win with just a gang of track stars, man.
Oh, got one with football players.
That's a good segue, though. That'll take us right into talking about the Raiders. Thank you, hey, thank you all, Bob and Calvin, for taking the time to email, man. We appreciate y'all, as always. Our executive producers, Bob and Calvin, always giving us, hooking us up, giving us content.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, moving on from Hayward Bay, speaking of the Raiders, what's up with your team, man? What's going on with them this year? Or this offseason?
You know what, man? Young Al Davis is he's setting the bar right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hey, we're going to the third year with this GM and his head coach.
Mm-hmm.
They got rid of all the bad contracts, and we had 2-4-12 seasons. And basically, he's saying there's no more excuses,
right?
And which I agree. You know what, man? The first 2 years, you got to give the new coaches and GM some time to clean up all the bullshit. We had a lot of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have a lot of cap space. We got the number 4 pick. We got some draft picks. So it's either put up or shut up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't want to hear, oh, well, Terrell Pryor ain't ready or such and such. And no, you got everything on your plate to make a delicious dish, homie.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't at least be contenders this year, it's time for them dudes to go.
How many games y'all win last year?
4.
Yeah, y'all at least got to be like an 8-18 at worst.
I only won 7 wins. You got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I mean, we have to be in the last week at least contending for that last playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
I'll say this: if let's say y'all bring in a young quarterback, let's say y'all get Bridgewater at mm-hmm. 5, I think you're at. You'll be all picking at.
Yeah, 5.
Let's say you do that or whatever, or you get Watkins or whoever, and the team looks like it's moving in the right direction.
Okay. Yeah,
like, I can see that, because it's hard to go from where y'all were to being, okay, we got to be a playoff team now that quick. But my thing is,
it happens, though. It does.
My main thing is, like, are we seeing progress? You know what I mean?
Okay, because look, I've seen from the first year to the second year, I've seen a lot of progress, but we had the same record.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, we may see progress, but fuck, it's not equaling to wins.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my whole thing. Hey, when it comes down to it, it's all about winning.
Right.
Yeah, you may be developing the players and shit. That's cool, homie. But, I mean, you know what? Maybe right now I'm saying this, but maybe, you know, mid-season, you know, week 15, whatever the case may be, I may have a different outlook on it. But as for right now, because, I mean, like I said, we got a gang of cap room. We got the number 5 pick. We already have some young players in place. You know what I mean? So my whole thing is, if he start bringing in niggas that have heart problems and shit again,
right?
Yeah, it's time for this nigga to go. Cause I can't believe that.
Yeah,
you know. So
what's up with that dude? Did he play? Is he?
Yeah, he played. But he got hurt. He got put on the IR like week 6 or 7. Remember when we played against the Eagles?
And right. Then, okay.
Yeah, Ronnie Cooper was dusting his ass off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and then after that, that's when he got put on IR. I think because his feelings was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But yeah, man, it's so hard to say because we got so many issues, so many question marks, and we got so much money to play with. And so we'll see.
What do you think y'all need to do in free agency since y'all got all that cap room? fucking space to work with.
Okay. I would bring in one of the veteran quarterbacks off the free agent market. Even the, and the bad part about it is I'm really not too big on any of the quarterbacks. You know what I mean? But even with Freeman, I don't know if he's a free agent or if I think he's a free agent this year. I wouldn't mind bringing him in.
What about Vic?
See, I wouldn't mind. See, that's the thing, because every quarterback has major question marks. I wouldn't mind bringing Vic in, but his major question mark is, can he stay healthy?
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of hard to bring players in when they ain't going to be on the field. But I like Vic, though. I think he can come in and do some things at least for a year or two. But at the same time, he has to stay on the field. Yeah. I don't know about Schaub. You know what I mean? I'm kind of, you know, on the fence with him. I like Freeman. He's young. But, you know, there's question marks with that guy.
What about McCown?
We've been there, done that. Been there, done that.
Oh, yeah, you don't like that dude.
Nah, we already had that dude. Nope, been there, done that.
What about Rex Grossman?
Oh, hell no. You know what? I don't know. I don't know about Rex Grossman because he's a turnover machine, though.
Right.
And I can't fuck with nobody who's going to turn the ball over. So, nah, I don't want that dude. Mm-mm, fuck that.
The Ravens could be a good spot for Freeman, man. Like, a change of scenery, a chance to go in and compete for the starting job. Like, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, he's looked bad, though, when he's played. Like, not even just like, okay, I understand the situation might have been bad. I mean, just watching him on the field at towards the end there, yo, he was bad.
But you know what? It was a toxic relationship. So maybe he would, you know, some people would just be like, I don't give a fuck.
You know, is that what you want, though?
But see, that's what I'm saying. Man, that's what I'm saying. That's where the question mark is with this dude. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's hard, man. Shit. Out of all the quarterbacks, I would have him out of any of them.
What about Chad Henne?
Well, you know what?
I mean, that's a
from Jacksonville, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's decent.
Actually played kind of good last year, even as bad as Jacksonville was. I don't want to say good, but considering how fucked up that situation was.
Yeah, he played decent. Remember, our offensive coordinator came from there. You know, so, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at that. Let him come here and compete. You know, so, yeah, I mean, we got a lot of options. But we definitely had to bring in another quarterback to compete for that starting position because I don't know if Pryor or McGlone is the answer right now.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what we do.
I think that can make y'all a lot better if y'all get see, people always mistake that you got to get, like, a great quarterback. A great quarterback. Just get a quarterback who ain't some complete shit. And your team can look a lot better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. A lot of these teams have quarterbacks that are just complete shit, right? I think if y'all can pick up Sammy Watkins at 5 and then throw in, like, a decent quarterback who can actually throw the ball, y'all will be a lot better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes y'all a playoff team, just that in and of itself, but, like, that's, at least offensively, that's a good start.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I want Watkins so bad, because it's like you can just see the greatness written all over him. So, if we can just bring him in and bring in, you know, somebody who can actually get on the ball, I think we'll be all right.
What do you think y'all need to do for, at running back? Because your boy is up out of there.
Yeah, he's up out of there. The writing's on the wall. But talking about McFadden.
Right.
But, I think we should bring Jennings back. I like Jennings. He's a hard runner. He works hard. We brought some dude in from the CFL. We'll see how he does. We drafted some guy out of, I want to say, Central Florida last year. I forget his name, but he's a little monster. He got hurt, though, towards the end of, I almost said spring training. Training camp.
It's that time of year.
And, so, I mean, he was showing potential in preseason. He got hurt. So, I mean, we got some young players in play. So, I don't know if we should draft somebody. I don't know about who's on the free agent market. But, I mean, if we do bring somebody in for the free agent market, they got to be like a basic-ass contract. Don't break bread for nobody.
Right. Yeah, and running back's a position where you can fill a need or a dude can step in and make an impact right away,
right,
with a lower draft pick. Cool. I'm glad you mentioned spring training. We had one more email that I don't know how I missed it, but executive producer Bob sent us an email about, he says, as much as y'all niggas love baseball, I find it hard to believe that neither of you have come to AZ for spring training since Sean and I moved here 2 years ago. Dallas came out in the spring once, but that was for the NBA All-Star game. So what do you think? I know. I ain't been out there.
I can explain. Man, I got kids and shit.
Right. That's you know right. What I mean? This is what niggas who don't have kids be saying. Right. When I read this at work, I got mad. I was like, this no kid having ass there. Just drop everything and go out of town like it's nothing.
Right. It's hard, man. When I have planned trips, I gotta plan shit like months in advance.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just can't hop up and say, 2 weeks, you know what I mean? I'm gonna go to Arizona. Yeah. I can't do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we've been coaching and shit, you know, so it's kind of hard to say, I'm gonna drop everything I'm doing and head out. But, and it's crazy because I've always wanted to go out there just for the spring training games.
Me too.
Because we're, Bob don't live no more, but where Sean live at, I think the Angels and the Cubs facilities is right down the street.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I remember one time we was leaving a pad. We was about to go somewhere, but it was mid-afternoon, and it was packed. All you see was red shirts. Mm-hmm. I said, what the fuck is going on? These niggas gangbanging out here like that? He said, nah, niggas, the Angels facility. I said, damn. I said, look like it's live over there. He said, yeah, man, it's pretty cool.
That's tight.
Yeah, so, I mean, one day we should plan, you know, a little trip.
But I want to do it, man. Even if, like, I want to start taking my son, too, to go do it, but then if I bring him, then I can't get active with the homies when we get out there.
Right,
but I definitely want to start doing it, even if it's just like a couple weekends during the spring. Just drive out there and stay for the weekend and then come back. You know? But, yeah, I definitely want to do it, Bob. It ain't a matter of not wanting to. It's a matter of, you know, when y'all first moved out there 10 years ago, nigga was still in school and broke.
Mm-hmm.
Then nigga started working, but had kids. Or a kid. But we'll be out there, man, for sure. We're going to do it. And, if the All-Star game comes out there again, I definitely want to go for that. Because the stories y'all had about that, All-Star weekend is no joke.
Yep.
But yeah, getting back into the football.
Back to my sorry ass
Back
Raiders.
To your Raiders. What are the other needs? So we talked about running back.
Everything. The funny part is you laughing, though. I'm serious. I can go position by position. You know what I mean? We need offensive line help. We got Wisniewski. He's our center. He's the only solid guy that we have under contract right now. We just re-signed Khalif Barnes. But you know what? Khalif Barnes, he's cool, but he's not a... To me, he's like one of those guys where when somebody get hurt, you put him in.
Right.
You know what I mean? We have our starting left tackle. He's a free agent, but he was hurt all of last year. But he's a pretty good left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I mean, we got to bring some new dudes in. You know, then I go to the defensive line. All we got is Houston under contract. Well, he ain't even under contract. Because what we did last year, we signed all those dudes that we brought in. Majority of them was under 1 year contracts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so like the linebacker Roach we got from the Bears, 1 year contract. Burnett that we got from Miami, 1 year contract. So it's going to be hard, man. I don't know what we're going to do.
Yeah, that's crazy. And y'all still run, y'all run 4-3 or 3-4? Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all got a lot of holes. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, with as many holes as y'all have, it's hard to say, like, okay, we got to be a playoff team or compete for the playoffs. But I think the main thing is, like, when y'all are in position to win games, don't fuck it up. You know what I mean?
So that's what we did last year.
Yeah. Because, like, y'all was in position to win a lot of games. Yeah.
And we fucked them off.
Right.
Like, the opening game, we could have beat the Colts on the road. I mean, I don't want to say it was his fault, but prior to two bad picks, which ultimately cost us the game.
Right.
But, yeah, we got to learn how to win.
Mm-hmm.
We got to learn how to close out games. We need to sign, like, Trevor Hoffman or something.
Right. Somebody, man. Yeah. I that's what I say. I think that's for y'all, definitely, that progress. But, y'all got a lot of holes.
Yeah, we got a lot of holes.
I can't talk shit. My team got a lot of holes, too.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. First and foremost, well, anything else about your squad as far as this off season updates with what's going on with them?
No, I mean, we got some shit going on with the stadium, but I mean, I don't know if that got nothing to do with our play on the field. But
what happened with the stadium?
I guess Davis is trying to work something out with Oakland, but I guess it's just hitting a wall. You know what I'm saying? And you know how they're trying to get that stadium built in LA, but they're saying it's going to be like a situation with the Giants and the Jets where they want two teams to share a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what probably is going to happen. The Raiders are going to move to LA, but who's going to be the other team to, you know, once they figure that out? I think that's probably what's going on behind the doors right now. Okay, we got the Raiders. Who's going to be the second team
right
before we can get this ball rolling?
Yeah. Yeah, it ain't gonna be the Chargers.
Cause nah, they ain't going nowhere.
That group that's doing that development, they want part ownership of, you know, a team.
Yeah, Spanos ain't having that shit at all. Oh, see, I don't even know that.
And I'd be surprised if Davis does.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, no, I know that ain't happening.
Yeah, like that's been the big holdup of why nobody's like really moving in there. See, that's one of the big, because that group is the AIG, I think it was, right. The main mm-hmm. group, like doing the development. They're trying to get broke off doing the development and then developing the land and everything around it, get broke off like that and mm-hmm. get the revenue. Because, you know, NFL teams make bank, right? You put a team in L.A., it's mm-hmm. going to be generating a ton of revenue. They're trying to get broke off that as part ownership of it. Right. And none of the 32 owners is going for that. You know what I mean?
And you know what's crazy? That's what's good about the NFL. Besides them letting the owner from the Browns get that team, they really haven't, like, fucked up with... The banks won't be fucking up all the time.
Yeah, left and right, homie.
Like, niggas going to get loans. From Bank of America. Right. Like, come on, man.
It's like, hey, nigga, I hit the lotto last week.
can I buy this team? Let me see. Oh, yeah, sure, you cool, man. Go ahead and get that. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, I didn't know that. Now I see why it's been such a, you know what I'm saying, ain't no teams went down there. Because I was like, oh, L.A.? Oh, yeah, somebody be there like that. But, fuck, yeah, you can't be greedy, homie.
Right. Yeah, so yeah, L.A., I don't know if that's a real option, but mm-hmm. the thing about California right now is we so fucked up, it's hard to build anything,
yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean? So trying to get a new stadium built and getting everything approved and mm-hmm. done and then figuring out the cost and everything mm-hmm. is just, man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But, all right, man, with my team, though, the biggest news this past week, man, we were able to get Donald Butler re-signed. That's huge,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's the heart and soul of our defense. Fuck what they talk about with Eric Weddle and that bullshit.
You know what's crazy? You the first Charter fan I've ever heard say that.
What?
That Donald Butler is the heart and soul of that defense and not Eric Weddle? It's only obvious.
It's not, homie, he calls all the plays. Mm-hmm. He's the leader on defense. Like, I don't understand where this notion came from that Eric Weddle was some type of leader or whatever like that.
You know why?
Because he white?
You know what? I wasn't even gonna say that, but I think that may be one of the reasons. Because you know what? I mean, if you look at the dynamics of this city, you know, it's a lot of Hispanics. Mm-hmm. No, I'm gonna say Mexicans, and then it's white Caucasians.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you always gonna identify with who you look like right. for the most part.
That's true.
And then if you watch the games, and I tell people, you gotta watch this dude Eric Weddle real carefully, y'all. Be he's always like one of the last dudes to get into the pile. He'd get up and celebrate. Oh! You know, like, so everyone's like, ooh. And if you don't know football, he's like, oh, okay, he must be he's a rah-rah guy. He must be the leader. Mm. No, that's not him.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He just gets excited for some reason. He ain't done shit.
But you know what I like is that this past year, Hacksaw used to have Vince and Glenn on Monday mornings.
He used to kill
and
him.
Vince and Glenn used to bang on him so hard.
He would.
He was like, why are we paying you all this money to come make... He basically said it, come make ankle tackles and not do nothing. Yeah. And that's what I say. Like, I feel like a lot of people just became Charger fans in 2004 mm-hmm. or in 2005. And they don't understand football even to understand, like, his impact and what it is and what mm-hmm. it was. And then he had that one year with, like, all them fluky interceptions where he had, like, 10 interceptions. Yeah. Everybody's like, see? Mm-hmm. See? He good. He ain't done shit since. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So, hopefully, you know, it's a situation where, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute, like, we need to start thinking about moving on from him and cutting him because we don't got
this
no...
Year?
Soon, if not this year, mm-hmm. because, like, we have zero cap room, basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got, like, $4.7 million in cap space,
you can't
I think.
Do shit with that.
Yeah, and like, you know what? Since we own it, Eric Weddle's cap number this year is $10.1 million, homie.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money for one dude who's not giving you a whole lot of shit. You know what I mean? Man,
like you said last week, you don't pay people to be smart.
Right.
You pay people to make plays.
Right. I don't give a fuck how smart you are, how good your instincts are, right. and all this. If it's not resulting in plays, then it don't matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, yeah, man, like, and I've never been a fan of his at all, just because even from the jump, when we traded up to get him, I never mm-hmm. felt like he was a dude you trade up to get. He's a dude where if you pick him up, you know, in the later rounds, then, okay, cool, you know, he mm-hmm. could be he could fill a role or whatever like that. Then when we overpay for him in free agency, it's like, okay, again, he's not that dude. Why are we doing all this for him? But, yo, man, like, either way, say all that to say, Donald Butler is obviously the captain of that defense. He's the heart and soul of what we are defensively. And we got a good young nucleus of linebackers. I think we need one more real good outside linebacker to go opposite Ingram.
Yeah.
But if you look at what we got in Ingram, in Butler. Tao is, he is what he is. He's solid. You know what I mean? He's not going to be, I don't think he'll ever be great, but if he could just be a solid, you know, run situation linebacker, I'm cool with that. And if we can get one more good-ass pass rusher, we'll be straight.
Arakpo's out there.
But see, we ain't got no cap space.
That's somebody who the Raiders bring in and shit.
He'd be a nice impact player, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, man, speaking of cap space, like, because we have, you know, we talked about the Raiders with needs and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we got a lot of needs too, homie.
Yeah.
We got needs all over the place. I think on the offensive side of the ball, to me, the biggest need is we need another wide receiver. Because your boy Alexander, he had a, I was reading today, he had a second ACL surgery. Yeah. He had surgery in February on that knee.
But you know what? The thing is, I would have never re-signed him after he had that great half of the season. Because you know his history, he always tearing his ACLs.
Yep.
I was like, you know what, man? I'll give you a one-year, $1 million contract.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can't stay healthy. Right. What happened?
Yeah, that's A.J. Smith greatness right there. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you had a handful of good games with us? We're going to break you off. Did the same shit with Gaither.
Yeah.
Like, yo, Gaither's nickname was the Big Lazy. Like, you don't extend a dude who earned the nickname the Big Lazy.
Right.
Like, he was on his way to being done in the NFL, comes into San Diego, plays good for like 4 or 5 games, and they broke him off for all that money. And now, you look at it today, that's why we fucked up against the cap, because shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But yeah, just like you said.
He's a Big Lazy. Unbelievable.
You can't sign dudes to them kind of contracts when they have so much risk.
Mm-hmm.
But like, as far as us, so he's all fucked up. Malcolm Floyd, I guess he started practicing again. He might be ready for camp, but he's never stayed healthy at any point in his career.
Mm-hmm.
Vincent Brown, he didn't really progress like we needed him to, but I cut him a little slack because it was only his second year playing in the NFL.
Okay.
And he's coming off an ankle injury. Yeah, like anybody's first year off an injury, you got to give him some slack. I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see what he does, but that's why I say I think we need at least one more receiver to bring into camp.
Okay. First round?
Oh, I don't know if I go that high, but, you know what's interesting is there's a lot of good free agent receivers this year for not that much money. You know what I mean? How much is he looking for?
I don't know. And I keep hearing the coach, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So, but because I feel like Decker is looking to get broke off, he's looking to take what he did with Manning.
Rightfully so.
Yeah,
it's a business.
Oh yeah,
anybody that think he should take a pay cut to go somewhere is a dummy. Better capitalize on this shit.
I hate when niggas say that, man.
Yeah.
Hometown discount,
nigga. Please,
every nigga who says that shit would leave that job for 50 more cents an hour,
right?
Just like that to go to the competitor,
right? Yeah, real shit.
It's like, oh, hold on, they paying $8.75 at Wendy's. All right, McDonald's has been real. You know what I mean?
Fuck your Big Mac.
But you think these football players should take $5-10 million less to stay in your hometown?
Right.
Man, go somewhere with that.
Exactly.
But no, you know what? There are a lot of decent receivers on the free agent market. You got let's see, Hakeem Nicks is coming out. I think he was getting like $2 million last year. You know what I mean? He didn't really have a good year, didn't stay healthy, so you could probably get him on the cheap. You know what I mean? Like that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at dudes who you can get on the cheap versus like dudes who you don't have to break the bank for. Like Decker coming off a big year, you know what I mean? He's looking to get paid. You know, you're not going to get him for cheap, right? Mm-hmm. But a dude like Hakeem Nicks, I think the Seahawks just cut or let Sidney Rice go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd be a good addition. I don't know. Anquan Boldin, did Anquan Boldin resign?
I think he did.
Oh, okay.
I'm almost 100% sure. I could be, but I thought I read something that he had resigned with him.
Cool. I know Jeremy Maclin just re-signed for one more year.
Yeah, Roddy Cooper got 5 years, $25 million.
Man,
so
it pays to be racist.
Man, you know what? I'm actually surprised how that shit just blew over.
Yeah, it really did.
It just blew over, homie. I don't know, man. It's just I'm baffled at that shit.
It's the power of the NFL, man. Because like once games start.
Mm-hmm.
Niggas really don't care about the shit
right.
on the field. Like, Niggas just care about, and the thing about the NFL is the storylines are turning over week mm-hmm. after week after mm-hmm. week. There's always something new. Mm-hmm. So the shit happened, I think, in like training camp or preseason.
Yeah, yeah, right before training camp, yeah.
And then, you know, they're talking about it for a while in the game, and, you know, mm-hmm. Preseason's over, talking about who's getting cut, who from here, you know, there's other, right. The news cycle keeps mm-hmm. turning over, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm curious how the story would have gone if it had been a black dude saying some fucked up shit.
Yeah, yeah, I think it would have been totally different.
But even then, the Ray Rice uppercutting his girl shit, yeah. It was in the news for, you know, yeah, for the week, yeah. And you really ain't heard much about it since, you know?
That's true, that's true. But see, I think, you know what I think is some things that America are, they I don't want to say they condone this shit. Just like when we're talking about DUIs and shit. Mm. I mean, you should be getting behind the wheel when you're drunk. Mm. But when you fucking crash and kill somebody, a lot of times it's like a slap on the wrist compared to other, you know what I'm saying, crimes, you know?
Right.
So I think, I don't want to say like abusing women, but it's like sometimes it's like a slap on the wrist, homie. They really don't trip off this shit.
Yeah. I feel like if you hit your girl, you should go to jail, homie.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Straight up. Like, yeah. Fuck what happened.
Right.
Can't be just beating on bitches and shit, homie.
Right. Yeah. But like you say, it's a slap on the wrist. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's nothing. Oh, he hit her? Oh, well.
Like, she almost deserved it. No, wait a minute, because I got a mama, I got a daughter.
Right.
And then, shit, nobody better not put hands on them like that, homie. We want some problems.
Yeah, that is crazy.
So I just think it's certain things in America that we, okay, it ain't that bad, but, you know, like you say, I think if it was an African-American, and you know what, I'm going to say this on the podcast, I'm going to stop trying to say niggas so much, I'm going to try to cut it out, period, but it's going to be hard, but African-American would have said something to the same extent, you know what I mean? I think it would have been an uproar. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really hear no white people coming, you know, I was saying, oh, that's wrong that he said that, as far as talking about Riley Cooper, mm-hmm. you know? And I remember when your boy McCoy was like, man, baby's like, fuck him, you know, for the most part. But right. Now he said, you know, well, I shouldn't have said that. Because I think people can change for the most part, but I definitely keep my eye on that motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, Deshaun Jackson just don't fuck with him at all. Mm-hmm. Which, it's funny because Deshaun Jackson is a... He's a crazy ass nigga.
Yeah, he's from Long Beach.
Yeah. And you would see it where, like, say Cooper would, like, catch a touchdown, be coming off the field, give him a high five, or Deshaun Jackson just push right past him. Yeah. Like, he's like, fuck you, homie.
Yeah. So, we're teammates, but that's it.
Yes. I think there's some dudes on the team who just don't fuck with him, right? Yeah. Some dudes who probably forgave him and everything, but, yeah, I get what you're saying, man. I would have had a hard time, forgiving him. It's funny how it wasn't until they switched to the white quarterback that he started getting all them receptions.
you know what, man, and it's crazy. I hate to say that, but I mean, sometimes it's like you got to start thinking, like, hold on, what's going on here?
Right.
You know, but I don't know.
But he is a good receiver, though. That's the other thing, too.
Is he really that good?
Well, I think he's big. That's what I'm saying. He has good size. Mm. You know what I mean? He has good hands to where, I don't think... He's particularly explosive,
right.
But he ain't slow either. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's a tough matchup. You know what I mean?
He is.
You figure most defensive backs are between, you know, 5'9" to 6 foot, generally speaking.
Unless you play against the Seattle Seahawks.
Right. Superhuman defensive right. back. Yeah, man. So, we'll see. Looking at the wide receiver prospects, man. It's some decent ones who I wouldn't mind taking.
You're talking about for the draft?
Yeah. Okay. In like the second round. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about the Chargers needing a receiver. Mm-hmm. Like the dude, Martavis Bryant from Clemson. They projected him as a second or third round pick.
He's tall as fuck.
Yeah, he's 6'4". Yeah, he's big physical dude. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The dude out of LSU, Jarvis Landry.
Okay. Yeah, I like him too.
Both of their receivers were good this past year. Yeah. So yeah, man, like it's definitely a need they need to address in the draft.
Well, what about the kid coming out of Florida State? I heard he might be a first rounder. The tall number one.
Oh yeah, Kelvin Benjamin.
You want to take him in the first round? Because what pick y'all got?
25.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's right. Ooh, there.
If he's sitting there at 25,
you know what I mean? He's right. Yeah,
yeah.
You know?
So, I would take him.
Okay.
Because
I like him.
I do too.
Yeah.
I would take him that high. Like I say, man, my ideal is that we get the dude Nix out of Notre Dame some kind of way. Even if we got to trade up to get him, like, because I just feel like that's that's a dude who you just paid all this money to Butler, like help Butler get better.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, I feel you on that.
Like, remember when the Ravens brought in Haloti Ngata and how happy Ray Lewis was? Yeah. And then you saw his play, because he had kind of like tapered off a little bit.
He got hurt.
Yeah. Then Ngata comes in there, and then boom, all of a sudden Ray Lewis looked resurgent. Yeah. I mean,
wait.
What?
You know he was on that shit.
On that antler?
Hey, me go smell a deer antler, homie.
I got that on me right in the back, man. Yo, where you even buy deer? Where you even get deer antler? You get that GNC?
You get that shit on the internet. Dude at work was telling me about the shit. He said it worked for him.
Like, yo, man, let me get some of that antler.
Like, it's crappy shit.
The other thing with my Chargers, man, before we move on to this other NFL stuff, I think they need to start looking at making some tough cuts, because we talked about it before, man. They only got about $4 million in cap space, and that's depending on what this Butler contract looks like. It might be even less, you know what I mean? Once the details come out, we'll see. But yo, man, Gates making his cap number is $7.3 million.
Gotta go.
Clary's cap number is $6.25 million.
Gotta go.
We already talked about Weddle, $10.1 million, and Nick Hardwick making $6.15 million. I like Hardwick, but every year he keeps hemming and hawing on, I might retire, this and that. At a certain point, you just got to move on and say, look, I understand you got to do what's best for you, but as an organization, we got to do what's best for us.
Yeah.
Plus, you're making $6 million a year, you know what I mean, for how much production. I was reading something with Gates. I don't understand how the cap works all the way, but like, I guess if they cut him this year, it would save like $2 million, but if they cut him next year, it'll save like $5 million or some shit. But I'm just looking at these dudes' cap numbers, and what those are specifically. It's like, yo, man, like, it's time to move on from some of these cats.
Yeah. Especially those dudes that's old and breaking down.
Right.
There's no reason to keep them around.
And dudes who not get, like, I love Antonio Gates. He's one of the greatest Chargers of all time. Mm-hmm. But he's not giving you $7.3 million worth of production right now. Like, that's the bottom line.
He has a fucked up injury.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let that dude go. We're going to fuck around and sign him.
Yo.
I know, right? Shit.
Yeah, man. Hey, you know what's funny, man? I had that plantar fasciitis or whatever. Mm-hmm. I had that shit last
year.
When I was, remember when I was working out all the time and running up mountains and shit?
Yeah.
What it is, like the bottom of your foot, like right in the arch of your foot, is just like ridiculous pain in there. Mm-hmm. It's basically like the muscle or right there, the plantar fascia gets inflamed and shit.
Oh, okay.
So it's like when you wake up in the morning is when it's the worst. As soon as you take a step, it's like imagine stepping on like needles, right? Mm-hmm. On the bottom of your foot, man. And it's like, yo, if that's an injury you have, and like the only way to heal it is just rest. You just gotta stay off of it. And yeah, man, like the nigga couldn't rest because he was trying to play, and then you know he
probably made it worse.
Yeah, and you see he's gotten bigger, he got fatter.
Yeah, he got the taco shop all the time and shit. I seen his ass.
You better get on an exercise bike or something.
Extra queso.
Stop eating all them carne asada burritos, man. He was like, let me get, you know how you talk like, oh, yeah. Let me get 2 carne asada burritos.
With a satin scarf and shit. I'm like, what the fuck this nigga be dressing up, man? Take that shit off.
That nigga funny.
Man.
All right, man. Before we go into these other NFL stories, man, anything else on the Chargers or the Raiders you got, you want to bring up?
I'm just looking forward to my first day of free agency. Hey, when I'm at work, my Bleacher Report better be blowing up. As soon as it hit, boom, Raiders better make about 5 signings, homie. Spend some money.
Raiders sign. They look like some fucked up
Bo people. Jackson to a 6-year contract. Like, what? Bo Jackson?
Shit, he probably come out and do better than Darren McFadden right now.
Man, I wouldn't be surprised.
Sorry ass dude. Alright, other NFL news. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, man, but the Saints went ahead and did it. And they franchise tagged Jimmy Graham. Let's see. It's not clear. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, so we don't need to get back into it. Like, bottom line, there's a difference of about $5 million or so between being franchise tagged as a tight end or a wide receiver. It's not clear which they're tagging him as yet, but, yo, he took 2/3 of his snaps as wide receiver.
Yeah.
Like, we can't ignore that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let's see. Where is the part I want to read? Graham and his agent Sexton will likely file a grievance through the NFL Players Association, asking that Graham be considered a wide receiver since he lined up out wide or in the slot for 67% of his snaps last year. Mm-hmm. That's a significant distinction between the difference. So let's see, tight end franchise tag is $6.7 million versus $11.5
million. Oh, yeah, hell no. No way. I wouldn't even play.
Yeah, I would hold out. Play, huh? I would hold out.
I'm holding out, yeah.
I don't like, because, like, you know, and that's the thing, everybody be like, oh, why is he complaining? He's still getting $6 million a year. It's like, nigga, okay, if you work a job where the going rate is $50,000 a year, right? You're not going to come to work for $30,000.
Right.
You're going to be like, I'm worth more than that. Yeah. So why is it when with athletes, people don't understand the same thing?
Because they so emotionally invested in this shit. That's what it is. They want, oh, I want you to bring a championship to my city. And like you said, these are human beings, homie. They making a living for their family, homie. They trying to make money. And that's just how you need to look at it.
Exactly. I guess during their grievance, they're going to say that the NFL's collective bargaining agreement specifically states that the franchise tag designation is based on the position at which the franchise player participated in the most plays during the entire year. It's in the rules.
Yeah, so if you know that, why would you try to get over and, you know what I mean? I would hit them with a fine, homie, for me trying to do some shit like that.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, these team people... Like, these teams are always looking to get over on players. Mm-hmm. Bottom line. So, as a player, I got no problem when niggas hold out. Yeah. Do whatever you got to do to get your money and protect yourself. Because they will try to fuck you first chance you get. Mm-hmm. This nigga went out there, played hurt, led the league in touchdowns, did everything they asked him. Hook him, play tight end, play receiver, did everything. And then they're trying to jack this nigga out of $5 million.
Mm-hmm. And it was fucked up for Drew Brees to speak on it, regardless if he, you know, didn't even realize what he was saying. It's like, don't even, if somebody asks you a question about your teammate's money, you just say, you know what, man, that's his business. I ain't got nothing to say about it. Mm-hmm. Leave it at that.
Hey, we need to develop a PR firm, homie. Because it's not that hard.
It's not.
All you have to say is, Jimmy Graham's a great player. Mm-hmm. I really hope they get the business side worked out so we can get him back on the football field. Can't wait to have him back.
Yeah, you answer the question.
Yeah.
That's what you gotta say. All that other shit, man. Because I'm telling you, homie, it's just going. He gonna end up leaving.
He is.
Yeah, he gonna end up leaving.
Yo, this is just like the shit with or similar to the Vincent Jackson shit.
Yeah,
they didn't want to pay him his money. Try to go franchise tag him for this year, and then try to re-sign him the next year or whatever like that. It's like, yo, if you want the nigga on your team, then figure out a way to keep him. And my thing about him is he is arguably the most important player. He's the second most important player behind Drew Brees. Bottom line, he's the second most important player on your football team. So if you have to cut two other niggas to make room for his contract, then you do it.
Right. So, I mean, we're going to see, homie.
I hope he wins the arbitration.
I do too. And still did.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The animosity is already there now.
Yeah. So he played for this 1 year on the franchise tag for $11 million and be like, I'm out.
I'm out. I'm going to the Raiders.
Man, y'all will have money, though.
Yeah.
All right, next story in the NFL we wanted to get to and hit. Ron Jaworski came out this past week and finally said what everybody else needed to be saying about Johnny Manziel. Basically, for those who haven't seen it or heard it, Jaworski came out and said he wouldn't take Johnny Manziel in the first three rounds. No, I think that's a bit harsh, but that might be a bit harsh, but let's see. This article, Jaworski was an NFL quarterback for 17 seasons. Now he works as an analyst on ESPN. For those who don't know who Jaworski is, man, he watches a ton of film. You know what I mean? He's a real good analyst. I like him a lot. You know, I don't always agree with him, but I mean, you can't disagree with the work that he puts in. You know what I mean? So he was saying that he's watched. Let me find it. He said on Tuesday that he's not buying into the Johnny Manziel hype, especially in the first round or second or third round. He said he's watched some of it, his game tape. He hasn't watched all of it yet, so his evaluation is not complete.
Then why speak on it?
Well, he's saying based on what he's seen right now, this dude's not a first overall pick. Which, I never thought he was a first overall pick. Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Mainly, I don't understand how Bridgewater fell all the way off, who he went into the year as a first overall pick, first overall quarterback, then, right, skin tone?
Yeah, skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He need to pull a Sammy Sosa if he want to be a first round or number one overall pick.
Yo, could you imagine if Bridgewater had the off-the-field issues that Manziel had?
Oh, he'd have dropped all the way down to the second, third round.
They just ignoring that shit. Yeah.
with Manziel.
The crazy part is, know what? I want to know what is his evaluation of Bortles. Now, if Jaworski come out and say that Bortles should be a top five pick, then we got a major problem. Right. You know what I'm saying? We got a major problem. Because you know what it is, man? This almost sounds like the Cam Newton shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because this not saying Johnny Manziel is Cam Newton. It's all of the hate that's coming out. You know what I mean?
For Manziel?
Yeah. Because, you know, you got some people that has the support for Manziel, but you got a lot of people hating on him, too. And I just, like I said, I think it was last week where I said I kind of changed my opinion on Manziel. Because, I mean, this motherfucker, he makes big plays. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. My whole thing is, it's like, just like what Bob came out with, was it a white quarterback syndrome? Mm-hmm. You know, if you ain't the typical 6'5", you know what I mean, 240, then they hate on you. You know what I'm saying? And then on top of that, he had off-the-field issues, but it's not issues where you really should be concerned. I don't think his off-the-field issues is like a Pac-Man Jones or to where he's getting, because he really ain't gotten in trouble with the law or, I mean, I think he's a young, like we always talk about, he's a young kid, you know what I mean, who, because I seen he had an interview with John Gruden, he was like, you know what, man, I got caught up in a lot of shit, and I need to learn how to say no, you know what I mean, I got pulled in a lot of different directions, you know, because he won the Heisman.
Right.
You know, he went to the SEC, tore their ass up to where when everybody's hyping to the SEC about defense, and he went there and just thrashed the motherfuckers. So, I mean, it's...
I don't disagree with any of that, but my thing is, I have no problem with, like, his issues in terms of, like, because they were all maturity issues.
Right, yeah.
But if I'm about to invest tens of millions of dollars into you, I can't have questions about your maturity. That's my thing. At least not as many as I have about him. Because his maturity issues are, like, okay, the shit that happened at the Manning passing camp. Like, he was hungover or whatever like that. And, you know, we talked about it when it happened. It's like, okay, you know, this nigga is not a professional, but you expect him to act professional or shit like that. Right? I get that. I don't have a problem with it. But if you're going to be my quarterback, right, and you're down there on some business to handle your business and do some shit like that, but you was too busy drinking, that's a red flag to me.
Yeah, okay, I understand it, but I don't think it's a red flag, you know what I'm saying, of course, but it's not a major red flag to me.
So would you take a dude like that first overall if, you know, because that's the thing they're talking about. He may go as high as first overall or as high as, like, third overall.
Okay, because you got to look at those two teams. Mm-hmm. You got the Houston Texans, who obviously is missing their key piece right now that they're missing is a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of other pieces in place right now. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did go after a quarterback. The number three pick is the Jaguars, which is obviously they need a quarterback. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised and I wouldn't be mad if he went that high just because that's what they need. But, I mean, I wouldn't do it if I was a Texans. I wouldn't be mad if they did.
Okay.
You got to get Clowney. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. You got to get Clowney.
If you could put Clowney and Watt on the same defense. And the thing about this, with all these teams this year, like, okay, Bridgewater is the only quarterback I would take that high, right? Other than that, Bortles or Manziel, I wouldn't take that high in the first round. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, though, there's a lot of quarterbacks who are good value at second round picks this year and third round picks.
Right.
If I'm the Texans, I take Clowney number one overall and then go with a dude like Carr out of Fresno State in the second round. You know what I mean? Something like that. You just made your team that much better. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay, I agree with you, but like we always keep saying, NFL is a business,
right?
You know what I mean. These dudes are trying to maximize their profits. Manziel was from fucking Texas, you know. I mean, he's recognized around the country. You know what I mean. So that's something else you got to take into account. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's overrated too.
You think so?
If you win week after week, you're gonna sell out. People are gonna buy jerseys.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. Like, if you... Seattle is all the way up in the middle of fucking nowhere, right? They make money. They make just as much as any NFL franchise because they win and they sell that place out every week. Right. So, it's like, I feel like if you win, then it don't matter if you have, like, a player tomorrow that's like, oh, Manziel's from here. We could put his face on the shit. You can do that with anybody. You can do that with J.J. Watt. You can do it with Clowney.
I mean, okay, just like right now, if they was to take Manziel number one or take, let's say they take David Carr in the second round, who you think gonna sell the jerseys like that instantly right now? It's obviously gonna be Manziel. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of, I mean, and to me, I mean, Carr is really not that much better than him. I mean, if you really look at the two, he's better. Carr than Manziel.
Oh, I think they're like close. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, my other question with Manziel, going back to like what Jaws was looking at, is like style of play. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how does his style of play translate to, you know, being successful in the NFL? Because mm-hmm. we're going to be asking him to do shit that he's never done before, right? Stay in the pocket, make reads on time, and make throws on time, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Bridgewater did that. Bridgewater mm-hmm. played in a pro-style offense, made checks at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. He did all the things you're going to ask him to do in the NFL. So, I mean, are you planning on bringing in Manziel and then building an entire offense around what he did in college and thinking that that's going to work in the NFL? Because it might. I'm not saying it won't work.
At some point, you have to, though. Because they got O'Brien out there, you know what I mean? And
mm-hmm. But that goes back to, do I want to take a project first overall?
I don't think y'all would consider a project, though. Because my thing is, if you look at it, they got an offensive line intact. Mm-hmm. Great offensive line. They got a great running back in Aaron Foster, if he can stay healthy. They got, I think, Andre Johnson. Ain't he a free agent this year?
I think he's still under contract.
Okay, so they got him coming back. They had Hopkins, which was a first-round draft pick receiver. They got Owen Daniels, which is a damn good tight end when he stays healthy. So what I'm saying is, they got offensive weapons. That's what I'm saying. To me, it's kind of hard to say what they should do, because, I mean, Clowney can help that defense tremendously, but at the same time, your defense is already good, and you're lacking quarterback play.
Right.
So what do you do?
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, with everything they have in place on the offensive side of the ball, a quarterback who is going to play within the game and not make mistakes is a better fit for them.
Yeah, okay.
If you go Clowney and Derek Carr, you put Derek Carr with them offensive weapons.
They're not bringing another car into Texas. Please
believe that. They're not bringing another car in there, homie.
You're like, oh, no.
We're not doing this again.
Yeah, we see what your brother did, homie. We're not drafting you. Fuck yeah, I don't think he'll want to go. Shit.
Oh, shit. That's too funny. Yeah, I guess that's true. But, shit, maybe. Oh, do you think they give, what's his name, another shot? What's that nigga's name?
Oh, the dude we had last year?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even be mad at that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he did pretty good when he first came in. But I think the NFL pressure got to him, and, you know, he kind of came back down to earth. And, but, yeah, I mean, if you can give him a full off season of, you know, OTAs and preseason shit and training camp, I think it'll benefit him more than, you know, I forgot about him, honestly. Because he put up a lot of yards. I forgot his name. The dude went to Texas Tech, right?
Yeah.
And he put up a gang of yardage. And, yeah, I mean, this motherfucker stole over 5,000 yards per season in college. So, I guess they could do that. They can go that route, too.
Let's see. I'm drawing a blank on that nigga's name.
Yeah, I can't remember the motherfucking name. It's not even on the tip of my tongue or nothing.
I'll find it, and then it'll come back to me. All right. I looking for that name, but I came across something that says Clowney clear cut number one for Houston. Now, I don't know if this is the author's opinion or if that's what they're gonna do, but they gotta take Clowney though, homie.
Yeah,
he's there's no player. I've not seen a player with his physical gifts in the draft. And I know you higher on Sammy Watkins than you are on Clowney, but yo, man, it ain't too many 6'5", 270 pound niggas running. What did he run at the combine?
Like 4.5.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, that's not something that you should use to determine whether or not you should draft him, but that just paints a picture of his athleticism at that size.
Right.
So, yeah, man, he's definitely a once-in-a-generation dude.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. I think that the Texans have to consider what their team is right now. It's not like the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Cleveland Browns or even my team, to where we got a gang of hoes.
Right.
The Houston Texans is sitting pretty nice right now with that number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do whatever the fuck they want to, you know?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be mad at if they took a quarterback number one, or unless it was Bortles.
If they take Bortles number one, homie.
Yeah, then I would be mad.
I'll root against them.
Mm-hmm.
If they're going to take a quarterback number one, take Bridgewater.
Yeah.
You plug Bridgewater into that system right there. That's a damn good team.
I wouldn't be mad at that, yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Alright, let's see. Well, speaking on the draft, upcoming draft and combine, you seen this story about San Diego State running back Adam Uwema, who he just left the combine. He was at the SDSU running back Adam Uwema was at the combine working out. He said he left the combine just out the blue because God told him to, and then he basically just disappeared. Threw up the deuces, was like, I'm out. After leaving the combine, Uwema went to the Indianapolis airport where he spoke to a reporter for the UT San Diego on the phone. After that conversation, Uwema apparently didn't communicate with anyone for the next 5 days. See, like, okay, we'll talk about it in a second. Mm-hmm. However, that wasn't the last time Uwema was seen. The former Aztec running back was spotted by a CBSSports.com video producer Monday at the Indianapolis airport. It's not clear where Uwema slept Sunday night, and it doesn't seem like he changed clothes. Yo, this nigga was there in his, y'all know the little uniforms they wear at the combine where it'd be like, it's a running back RB and then a number that he's assigned and like the workout gear. This nigga was at the airport in his combine workout gear.
Yeah. Something happened to that nigga mentally, homie.
Yeah, he ain't all right. Yo, he was on the flight, still rocking the combine gear.
Yeah, see, yeah, I mean, cause we was talking about the shit before we started recording, and I was like, you know, I mean, I really can't, you know, hate on him for what he did. You know, he said if he felt God told him to, you know, lead a combine, well, you know, good for him. But when I started hearing this motherfucker was still wearing his combine clothes and sleeping out there, I'm like, wait a minute. What's wrong with this nigga?
I wonder if he still had the gloves and the cleats on too. Like, he's in the airport with his cleats on.
Yeah, he out there doing still the combine stuff. He lined up with a 40. You know what I mean? He doing, he jumping up like, what that nigga over there doing? Oh, shit. He's still in combine mode.
Hey, man, I hope the young man gets some.
He might just be, you know.
No, man, this nigga need help.
I don't know, man, because, you know, like, a lot of his former teammates say he's just a real religious dude, and, as long as he ain't walking around killing motherfuckers and, you know, nothing like that, shit.
Okay, I get what you said on the religious part, but the other aspects taken away from, like, this was something he felt in his spirit, right?
Yeah.
He didn't talk to nobody for 5 days, right. Like, hey. If it's just, that's what his spirit told him, mm-hmm. right? It's like, he could just answer his phone, like, hey, no, look, I'm fine, everything's good, I'm coming back home. You know, mm-hmm. this is what I feel in my soul. I'm not going to participate in the combine, I think, because he said he thought the Seahawks would take him as a free agent if he didn't participate, right? Okay, fine. And another thing, if he goes to the airport and he has a shower and puts on some regular ass clothes.
Right.
Like,
that's where it gets weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. The young man, like, and that's the thing that's fucked up, man. Like, this nigga came, played for San Diego State for, you know, however many years, made money for the school, mm-hmm. and now he gonna be, you know, he apparently has some level of issues that, you know, hopefully he gets the help for it, because, like, now he don't got no one to look out for. Like, it's not like San Diego State's gonna look out for him. Right, he don't play for them no more. Mm-hmm. The NFL's not. They ain't gonna draft the nigga.
You never know. Somebody might pick his ass up.
Shit.
I mean, if you sign them motherfuckers that's beating up women and all that shit, I mean, shit. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody picked his ass up.
Yeah, that's how fucked up the NFL is. Are you uppercut a bitch? Come on in. You got mental issues? Oh, no. Right. We can't fuck with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. All right, last thing in the NFL I wanted to touch on, man. What's up with your boy Russell Wilson, man? What is he doing this offseason?
As far as with the Rangers and all that
shit? What is he doing down there?
I don't know, man. Is he actually playing?
Yo, he been, like, participating in spring training shit. Like, out there doing drills and shit.
I mean, you know what?
I guess he's going to play in a game.
Like I said, man, it's some people, you know, they grow up and they have dreams and aspirations. And, you know, this is, I mean, how hard, it's very hard to get to that level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So he might be like, fuck it, I got an opportunity, you know what I mean? Fuck, I'm going to go out there and fuck with these cats.
Yeah, but part of growing up is learning when it's time to let go of dreams. You know what I mean? I got a lot of dreams I had to let go
I know.
As an adult.
But he has an opportunity. I mean, ain't like he's like
45 doing this shit.
No, you know what I mean? I get you.
So, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. You know, fuck, he might make the fucking team. Ian Kinsler ain't there no more. I don't know.
Don't fuck around and be the second baseman.
Yeah, so, I see. Hey, I'm leaving in August, though.
Hey, the shortstop got hurt, too. What's his name? Andrews?
Oh, for real?
His forearm got fucked up.
But they got that day number one prospect is that shortstop. They brought him up last year. That motherfucker was ripping. They slid him over to third, though. I don't know his name, but, yeah, I mean... You never know.
So I guess he's going to play in the Cactus League game. But see, okay, my thing about it is like, this is an unnecessary thing where the risk of getting mm-hmm. injured mm-hmm. outweighs the reward, right? Mm-hmm. He's basically doing fantasy baseball camp right now. And he, like, if he stays healthy, continues to do what he's doing on the football field, he's mm-hmm. going to clock $120 million in the next couple years. Mm-hmm. Like, he's going to get one of them contracts. Mm-hmm. So... That's my whole thing about it. It's like, at a certain point, I understand the love. Like, baseball is my first love, too. Right? I can't say I wouldn't want to do the same shit he's doing. But, like, from a logical perspective, you got to say, yo, this is unnecessary.
I'll feel you on that. But, I mean, shit. If the nigga want to risk it, I mean, if I was Seattle Seahawks, I'd be, hey, homie, check this shit out, homeboy. I don't know what the fuck you going through right now, but you better bring your ass back to Seattle, homie. Right. Shit, we try to repeat. What the fuck you doing?
So, yeah, I guess he's going to play in the game, but...
I get it. Inside and tight on his ass.
Oh, no. Ron Washington already said he's not gonna get in that bat.
Oh, okay.
He said, this guy's... Hold on, I got to do my Ron Washington voice. You're the guy, Super Bowl champ. Rangers, that is your Ron Washington's head on Thursday.
I love Ron Washington.
I love him, too.
I love Ron Washington.
I would love to play for that nigga.
Hell yeah. He got the homie the clown haircut. You know what I mean?
That's how baseball go. What do you say? That's how baseball go? Or something like that? You think we want him to get... You think we want him to come down here and get hurt? Washington said he didn't want to take any chances with Wilson's help. This guy ain't seen a pitch. I'm not running him up there.
It's funny because I motherfucking thought just like that, homie.
He's an infielder, so I'm open to taking him over there to a backfield if he wants to get some work in. But it's up to him.
Like, nigga, where they find this nigga, homie? Oh, that's funny, yo.
That's too funny. Hey, you know they extended Washington through 2015.
That's good.
I fuck with him, though. You know what I don't like? I don't like how everybody try to act like he's dumb. Because, you know, we make fun of how he talk and shit like that. He's a smart motherfucker. And he knows this shit about baseball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really didn't like it that year they played against
the Cardinals.
Yep. And the narrative. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to what I talk about. Just listen to how they talk about this mm-hmm. shit. Tony La Russa is so smart and so this. And Ron Washington, he's, you know... Like, the way they just talk about, because they just show him clapping, and, you know, he get really excited doing his little bounce thing when something good was
and
happening.
And they should have won that World Series while you're bullshit.
He outmanaged Tony La Russa.
Sure did.
You know what I'm saying? But it's just like, oh, Tony La Russa is so smart, such a cerebral manager and this and that shit. I hate that shit, man. Like,
especially when it comes to baseball. It's like, baseball ain't that hard to manage.
The main thing with baseball is managing, especially at the big league level, mm-hmm. is just keeping everybody, like, in a good place throughout mm-hmm. the whole 162-game season.
You know 162 what I mean? Games, that's hard, homie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep your players real rested, not over-pitching your pitchers, shit like that. That's
like,
what you gotta
like
about.
Pitching changes ain't that hard to figure out. Like, mm-hmm. oh, this nigga's starting to get slapped. Yeah. Or that nigga out there, he can't hit the strike zone. Time to make a pitching change.
That's out of here.
Anybody can figure that shit out. They think Tony La Russa smart because he batted the pitcher eighth in the position.
Oh,
player.
My God. Yeah. That's so stupid.
Dumbass nigga. All right. That's a good segue into baseball, though. Padres update. Ain't much cracking with them. You know, Cactus League game's about to get started. Mm-hmm. Good news. Chase Haley only supposed to miss about 2-3 weeks or something like that.
It's still a bad start to the fucking spring training, homie. Mm-hmm. It's the same shit happened last year.
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Hopefully they don't rush him back, man. Like, if he's not right, then he's not right. Let
or
him
he
get
don't rush himself back.
That too.
That's the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll see.
For sure. The other big news with the Padres is if you want to get season tickets for the team, there's a way to do it. They're having a promotion where anyone who can hit a home run out of Petco Park gets season tickets for the year.
That's crazy. Oh. It's a good promotion, though.
Yeah, it's real. It's real good.
So is it the first person to do it, or as many people as it does it specify? Or, you know,
let's see.
I know I can't, niggas. I ain't gonna try that shit.
I think I could do it. I would just need more than two pitches.
Oh, you want to get two pitches?
Off a pitching machine, too. Which is hard to time. You know what I mean? Mm. I would need at least like one or two pitches to get my timing down.
Do you get to use a metal bat or a wood bat?
Let's see. I'll read the article and then we'll see what it says. Let's see. The San Diego Padres are running a promotion that will give two season tickets to anyone within certain restrictions who can hit a home run at Petco Park. On Saturday, March 15th, the Padres are offering fans a chance to win two free season tickets in the upper infield section if they can hit a home run at the team's stadium. Fans can sign up on the team's website, and they will face a tough task. According to the ESPN Home Run Tracker, Petco Park allowed only 146 home runs in 81 games, an average of 1.8 per game in 2013. That number ranked 9th out of 15 National League stadiums and 22nd out of 30 Major League parks. So it's one of the toughest parks to hit home runs in. If those numbers weren't daunting enough, the following restrictions will make it even harder for fans to win. Each participant will have the opportunity to swing at one pitch from the pitching machine set up by the Padres. Each participant may remain at the plate for no more than two pitches. If the participant does not swing at either pitch, the participant turns over. So you only get one swing. One swing, homie.
That's hard, homie.
All participants must wear batting helmets provided by the Padres and may only use a bat provided by the... Oh, they're going to give you the janky bat.
Yeah. It's going to be made out of plywood and shit.
You gotta use a bat provided by the Padres. That's fucked up. A winning hit is one that passes over the outfield fence at Petco Park in fair territory without bouncing on the field. A home run. The ultimate determination of whether a hit constitutes a home run shall be made by the Padres in its sole and absolute discretion. So if you hit like a close one and it like hits a yellow line or some shit, they're gonna be like, nope.
Yep, real shit.
Or if it's like close to being fouled, they're gonna be like, foul ball.
That's crazy.
Winners shall receive two 2014 regular season tickets in the upper infield section, and participants who played Division I collegiate or professional baseball, whether major, minor, or independent league, are not eligible for the prize. So,
so who gonna come and drink a home run, man?
No, what it is, man? It's a promotion to get people to come to the stadium on a day in March, spend money, you know, at the store, and you know, promote the team, get people interested in the
all
Padres,
the surrounding restaurants, and all that shit. I like it. I ain't gonna do it, shit, though.
Nah, I ain't doing it either. Go up there and get gas. They gonna have the machine at like 95.
I know.
Yeah. Get your ass out of here.
Right. Next.
Oh, shit. That's comedy. All right, keep it with baseball, man. Well, we already touched on the Mike Trout contract and Bob's email, but we talked about this before, man. Just, you know, and talking about promotions and things to promote your sport and shit like that. This is one thing baseball needs to do a better job of, homie. You know, talking about Mike Trout, this dude is, like, not only is he the best player in baseball, he's one of the most dynamic players in the history of the game, yet we don't see him on commercials, on, you know, putting him out there to host Saturday Night Live, you know, get him out there. What are your thoughts on that in terms of baseball and promoting its players and getting people out there, getting people's names out there?
Because what it is, I mean, baseball is ran by a group of old white men. So they stuck in their ways. Oh, we don't need that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's almost how, on the outside looking in, that's their attitude. We don't need that shit. You know what I mean? And, I mean, they making billions of dollars a year. You know what I mean? But it's like, if you want to take your sport to the next level, like you said, you got to start getting your stars. Not even Trout. It's all your stars. You know what I mean? The Verlanders. You know what I mean? Because I like Verlander, and he seems like he has a personality that can do good on TV and shit like that. You know what I mean? But, yeah, man, they just got to do a better job of promoting their stars. And I mean, I would promote one player from each team and, you know, just have them different venues and different shit. You know what I mean? Just to promote the game and their team. You know, but yeah, that Major League Baseball sucks at it.
They're terrible at
they
it.
They suck.
The last time they really did it majorly was in the 90s. Mm-hmm. When, remember the Chicks did the long ball commercials? Right. That was the last, like, national advertising campaign with Maddox and Glavine.
It was good.
Yeah,
it was funny.
But they need more shit like that. Like, we'll be sitting, you know, if you sit and you're watching basketball or whatever, just count, or even football, count how many commercials you see with different athletes, different basketball players, different football players. You know, just, you know, drive the sport more, you know what I mean? But I think it's like you say, they're content with just making what they make, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we make this amount of money, I guess that's good enough.
Yeah, we ain't tripping. Our pockets are still fat.
And that's one of the ways that football just thrives, is that they're constantly looking at how can we tweak it and make it better? How can we make more? Right. How can we make more? How can we make more? Right? And they always do that. And and that's why they've surpassed baseball, and like they're the undisputed king right now. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, I definitely, hopefully with C-League retiring and a new commissioner coming in soon, hopefully, man, it's a thing where, like, they change their approach, you know what I mean? Get some young blood, some new blood in there. You know, that's the only way baseball can continue to make strides, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because C-League was a former owner. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of those, you know, he's an older gentleman. And, yeah, I mean, he's one of the good old boys, you know? So, right. I don't know what they should do, but it's a lot of things they could do to promote their sport and make more money and make it more visible to the American people. And I mean, American people, I mean, they could take advantage of all the islands and, you know, take advantage of fucking, you know, Japan and all that. Because, I mean, they tried to promote the World Series Baseball Classic. I think it'd be a bigger hit than it actually is.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't do shit. I don't even know what the next one is.
I couldn't tell you, homie. And we baseball fans.
Right. I can't tell you. You know, so, yeah, they just got to do a better job of that shit, man.
So, keep it with baseball, man. I don't know if you heard this. Nelson Cruz signed with the Orioles.
Yeah.
What you think about that?
I mean, that's a good signing. You know what I mean? Because he has potential, you know, to put, you know, 20 home runs over the fence. You know, driving a lot of runs. They got Adam Jones. Chris Davis had a breakout year. I don't know if he can duplicate that, but
they got the young third baseman.
But he's coming off that fucked up injury.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't. Hopefully, it don't affect his play, because baseball really, you know, doesn't involve cutting and shit like that. So,
which knee is it? Or is it a knee? Or what was it?
It was a knee. I think he tore the ACL. I don't remember which one it was, but it was just a freak accident. He was running on a bag. He stepped on a bag running to first, and he landed on the wrong, and it fucked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which 99 out of 100 times. I mean, I would say 100 out of 100. It ain't gonna happen.
Right.
They got JJ Hardy at short. They have a catcher, what's his name, Weeder, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. You know, they have some decent pitchers, and I mean, it's a good signing, man. It's an extra bat that they need in that division.
Yeah, for sure. Because I can see them taking that division, man.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, you always hear about in the World Series hangover, and it's true, man. Teams win the World Series, and it's just like it's hard to duplicate, you know, that and come back the following year and be, you know, as good as you were. Even and it's not even to say teams just fall off and be completely sorry, but like, you know, it's just hard to be on top again. Right, like, you know, we saw it with the Giants. They won a couple years ago, and then last year they were a good team, but they weren't, you know, that World Series contender. Right. So I don't think the Yankees is going to be that good this year. I can see them winning the East and making a run in the playoffs, man. Especially with that bat, you put him, you know, in that lineup behind Adam Jones. Mm-hmm. Adam Jones going to see more pitches, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I think it's definitely a good signing. Let's see. Another story I came across. This one, apparently the Dodgers are going to use D. Gordon at second base for now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that dude they signed out of Cuba, Alex Guerrero. Mm-hmm. It's seeming like he ain't ready for the big leagues yet, homie. Like, you know, that's the thing when you sign these dudes out of these, you know, other countries, thinking it's going to translate and he can compete.
They're going to move him to second at first?
Who, Alex Guerrero?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I know they got Hanley Ramirez still.
No, here. Hanley Ramirez playing short, right?
Yeah.
And they brought this dude in out of Cuba.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So he was like a star in their league, and they thought, oh, well, he'll come to the big leagues and he'd go ball out. They signed him for like 30 mil. But they're saying like, yeah, this nigga ain't ready. He gonna start the season in the minor leagues.
I mean, it may be good for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You gotta understand, look where he's coming from. And he's going, not only coming to America, he's going to Los Angeles.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's 27 years old, though. They signed him for 30 million. So the thought is, you're gonna come in and be ready to go.
Yeah. Well, somebody didn't do their homework.
Yeah. But I think this is good for D. Gordon, though, because just to get him playing time and at bats and like a stress free, like that, like even if he come out and hit 200, they don't. That's fine as long as he plays stick defense at second. He gonna be straight.
Hey, that motherfucking rim.
Yeah, and the thing I liked about when I was reading his story is like, see, talking about D. Gordon, he's put on 20 pounds of strength in his upper body and is trying to prove he can barrel the ball up with authority. What?
Anytime I hear that.
Oh, them roids?
Automatically. So what this nigga taking?
That antler?
So he taking something. He taking something. You just don't put on 20 pounds of muscle and, we're going to see what
this nigga looks like. Nah, you could do it. Because he still looks skinny, though, man. Yeah, like, he don't look all roided out. It's possible to put on 20 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just with baseball, man. It's just, I'm never surprised with these motherfuckers, man.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but, man.
Can you blame them, though? That's the thing. People...
No, I can't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, talking to people about it, like, in the bar or, like, at work and shit, I can't believe they would do that. It's like, shit, let me give you a magic potion that would allow you to make $100 million. See if you take it.
Right.
You drink the whole bottle, nigga.
Yeah, and if you would, you a dummy.
Right. So, yeah, man, like... I feel you. I wouldn't be surprised if he on that antler.
Yeah, I wouldn't be
I'm going to just call all steroids that antler. But for him, man, like, I always root for the black baseball players. I want to see him succeed.
Right.
I think he could be good in that lineup. As a number eight hitter, just get on base, drop some bunts down, steal some bases. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He could think about him in the eighth spot. He could take a walk. Steal a base, had a pitcher bunt him over and be on third base with one out. You know what I mean? Like, just like that. And speaking of that lineup, homie, I looked it up this morning when I was getting ready for the show. I know last week I was talking about, the Padres could be a sleeper team and they could do Dodgers winning the Dodgers winning the West.
No, homie, the Dodgers, they got Carl Crawford, Andre Ethier, Matt Kemp. That's just the outfield.
Here's their projected starting lineup. Yasiel Puig.
Oh, yeah, Puig. I forgot about him.
Carl Crawford batting second. Hanley Ramirez batting third. Adrian Gonzalez batting cleanup. Matt Kemp in the fifth hole. Juan Uribe batting third.
Oh, I forgot about Uribe.
AJ Ellis, the catcher. And then this probably D. Gordon playing second.
See, look at that, homie. I mean, you have no holes in that lineup.
They have Andre Ether coming off the bench, homie.
Yeah.
He's a superstar almost anywhere else in the league.
Yep. That's correct. Oh, yeah, it's going to be tough, homie. That's going to be tough. You're going to have to face Ether at least once again. He's coming in to pinch hit or, whatever the case may be. But, that lineup is going to be, I'm going to be surprised. And they got the best pitcher in the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like almost it's not even fair.
Yeah. I'm going to just enjoy going to the Padre games to drink some beers, holler at the females, and keep it pushing.
Man.
Because we ain't winning the West.
Maybe
we could contend for a wild card spot.
Yeah, but we ain't winning the West.
No.
That's why I was saying asleep. I'm like, I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah, we ain't doing shit. We ain't winning the West. All right, man. This last baseball story. This article came out this past week. Some ignorant motherfucker.
Right. He ain't never played baseball before.
Is making a push for shrinking home plate in Major League Baseball because apparently strikeouts are bad for baseball. Apparently. Let's see. I don't know. What's this dude's name? Some idiot ass motherfucker. Rob Nyer of Fox Sports. Let's see. His thing is he wants to. They're talking about shrinking the size of home plate because strikeouts are bad for baseball. So if you shrink home plate, somehow that makes the game better, right? Because now. First of all, you'll have more walks.
Yeah, which makes the games longer.
Exactly. Secondly, You gonna have, I don't think you gonna have more. You think it's gonna improve hitting?
I don't think it's because this is the thing. The umpires already shrink the strike zone.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? And people, and this has to be a person who never played baseball before, because you, it takes an actual skill to take that small ass baseball, throw it as hard as you can, and put it where you want to,
right.
53 feet or whatever it is away from the home plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I mean, this whole theory of, first of all, the notion that strikeouts are bad for the game is a crock of shit.
Right.
It's actually good for the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you got all these motherfuckers hitting home runs and all this shit. Actually, the homer numbers have went down. But, I mean, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, their whole premise is more balls in play would make for a better game, both to play and watch. But that's fucked up logic as it is. Because if you want more balls in play, then you expand the strike zone. You don't shrink it.
Right.
Because if the strike zone is small, then a pitch that would have been a strike on the inside corner a year ago, well, I'm going to take that pitch now because it's a ball, right? So you're going to have actually less balls in play rather than more balls in play.
Yep.
That's number one. He says it seems so elementary that, you know, more balls in play makes for a better game. I don't even read this whole article, man. Cause
it's gonna make you mad. Cause I read the whole article and it was just like, who is this dude think he is? The come up. No, it is people find numbers and shit to support their argument.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all he did. You know what I mean? He was talking about how the strikeout numbers have went up each year. Okay, and?
Right.
That has nothing to do with what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like you said, man, there's value in the strikeout. There's excitement in the strikeout.
Exactly.
A strikeout with the bases loaded. Yeah. Nigga, you ever been in a stadium and see a pitcher strike somebody out with the bases loaded?
Motherfuckers go crazy.
That shit is greatness.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah, this motherfucker, he don't know what he's talking about, homie.
He's talking about lowering the mound.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't read this whole article.
I was like, you gotta read this shit, Robert. It's gonna piss you off, bum.
This is dumb. Like, okay, the basic premise of more balls in play makes for more excitement is true and it's accurate. But the problem is not the plate is too big, right? They're just saying, oh, shrink the plate, you get more balls in play. No, you need to you don't even need to expand the plate, enforce the strike zone as it's supposed to be called. Because right now, like, I mean, we'll watch games where some umpires got janky strike zones. Shicey as fuck, right?
Yeah.
It'd be pitches right on the corner or whatever. They just won't call it.
Yeah.
Or some umpires just like, I don't call the outside corner. Like, how you make up your own fucking strike zone? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean?
Real shit.
It's like, I don't call the outside corner, but I call, you know, 2 inches inside as a strike though, even if it's off the plate. It's like, if you enforce the strike zone from like, the armpits to the knees and like from the black to the black.
That's what it should be.
Right. Motherfuckers gonna have to swing when they get up to the plate.
Exactly.
So, man. Like,
the hitters know that. So they gonna take pitches until they get to one right down the plate.
Mm-hmm.
So they can try to hit a home run.
And the best hitters, they understand tendencies down to the umpire tendencies. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, I know this dude don't call the pitch on the outside corner. I'm gonna leave that shit alone. I don't even have to chase it. Yeah. Even with 2 strikes, I don't have to chase it. Right? So it's like, call the fucking right. That's like, I can't. That's like, oh my god. Okay, I'm getting mad thinking about it.
It's just like, but he'll find a number. Oh, strikers have one of them every year. Oh, well, this is gonna support more. No, no. Motherfuckers stick to playing a little. I don't even know. He probably played no sports in his life to come with some shit like that.
Yeah, that's stupid. Fuck that dude, man.
You gonna slap him when you see him?
Yeah,
bitch.
Get that nigga in his chest. Man, that's dumb. All right, man. Moving on to the NBA. I don't even want to think about that shit. It got me mad. I'm supposed to be happy. Spring training started. It's a good time to think about baseball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Moving on to the NBA, man. Did you see LeBron's mask the other night where he came out looking like Batman and shit?
I seen it.
What'd you think?
I thought that shit was ill.
Yeah, it was pretty tight.
I liked it because it matched with the uniform. You know what I mean? That shit was ill to me. I liked it.
Apparently the NBA didn't like it though. They made the nigga change it, get rid of it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's see. According to an NBA spokesperson, it said it was our understanding that LeBron used the black mask because the clear one he was comfortable with wasn't ready. The NBA came out and they banned LeBron from using the carbon fiber black mask that he wore the other night.
Mm-hmm.
James appealed the decision and is trying to get clearance to wear the black mask because he likes the lightness and fit of it, a source said. He did. He also said he liked the style and how it matched the Heat's black throwback uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
The black mask was a huge hit among fans, and James and several teammates posted pictures with it on social media. Only LeBron can make breaking your nose look cool, Heat forward Shane Battier said. But yeah, apparently the NBA, they saw the black mask that he rocked, and they was like, nah, you can't rock it. You got to go back to, you have to rock a clear one that's been approved by the NBA. And I was thinking about this. I was like, yo, man, like, why? I don't understand the reason why they would.
Didn't know this ain't the first time this happened. Yeah. Kobe, it was Kobe. There's a couple other, and they the same shit. They was like, nah, you can't wear it. But like I said, man, but I mean, I don't really want to get into it, but it just go back almost to what I was talking about with the dress code. You know what I mean? It's like, them motherfuckers is all, I mean, it, where does it stop? You know what I'm saying?
I think I figured it out.
Homie. Why?
Money. They probably got a contract with the mask maker.
I don't think so though, because the mask, the clear one he had, it looked exactly the same. It was just the color was different.
No, but the one he rocked was carbon fiber versus the clear one, which is plastic. Right. So think about it. Like if you're a plastic manufacturer, I just think with pro sports leagues, man, everything traces back to money. So whenever I start having questions, I just start thinking in my mind, where does the money go? How does this relate to money? And it's like, cause you think about it, if the NBA dudes rock this one from, so-and-so plastic masks or whatever, and that's the ones that regular niggas at the rec or niggas in high school and college is going to go buy. So, it's all marketing and money, man.
But have you seen the clear one?
Yeah.
It looked exactly the same, though.
But wasn't carbon fiber, though.
Oh.
You can't make a carbon fiber clear.
No, but it wasn't clear, though. It was white. It wasn't even clear.
Really?
Yeah. Go look at it, homie. Oh, and that's I was tripping. It wasn't even clear. It was white, homie.
I thought it was clear. I must not have seen it good. No, I'm saying, look.
It's clear?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought, well, maybe I'll just glance at the shit.
Oh, wait, hold on, maybe it is. Let's see.
Okay, yeah, no, that ain't what I, okay. I mean, that's clear.
Yeah.
Because you were saying it fogs up and shit.
Right.
And he said he didn't like that. So, I don't know.
It's, man, it's janky, man. It goes
it's
like
a fucking face.
It's fucking, fucking face mask.
Yeah.
Let the nigga rock what he wanna rock. All right, man. One other NBA story to get into. Well, I don't know. Did you want to talk about that Rusty and Durant shit?
I mean, you the fucking the man with the master plan. You know what I'm saying? So if we got enough time, then we can talk about it, or you know.
Yeah, we got time.
It don't matter to me. Shit.
I'll talk about a bitch's butt cracker. That's what's on the agenda. Shit, I'll talk about everything.
You dumb.
I'm just saying, I ain't tripping on nothing.
Alright, so we that got me fucked up.
I came out of the right field, huh?
Yeah. So what do you think about the fact that last time I checked, Oklahoma City they were 0-3 since Russell Westbrook came back after, you know, to start the season, they had the best record in the league, and Durant was balling out of control.
Right.
A lot of people are saying it's Russell Westbrook's fault that they're 0-3. Now, we had this discussion a couple weeks ago. We was going back and forth on the text message where I was defending Westbrook.
Right.
You was kind of banging on him a little bit. Now, what do you think is the issue in terms of, or do you think it's Russell Westbrook's fault that OKC is 0-3 since he got back?
See, I don't like to place blame on players, but, okay, because I know you ain't big on, you know, watching ESPN and shit like that, but for me, because, I mean, it's a lot of shit about basketball I'm not hip to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I like to watch the NBA live shows, and, you know, NBA got their own network, and I like to listen to motherfuckers like Jalen Rose and shit like that, because they can break the shit down to where I can't break it down.
Right.
So they was breaking it down to where they I think it was the last game they played against the who did they lose to? Oh, the Cavaliers.
Okay.
So it's like five or six plays. I mean, if you look at that, about five plays, let's say they're all 2 points. That's 10 points. Mm-hmm. Six plays, that's 12 points. And you can throw some three-pointers in here, and, you know, that's more points. So where he will get the ball, they would inbound the ball to him. He grabs the ball. He's running full speed where everybody's on the court. They like, I don't know if they're trying to run a play or not, but everybody's in their area mm-hmm. or where they're supposed to be. This nigga, one play, he ran straight to the three-point line, jacked up a shot, break. I'm like, damn, okay. So they show some other ones. He just driving to the hoop, doing some crazy. The last one, it fucked me up. He drives coast to coast. They like quadruple trip this nigga. They quadruple team this nigga. He jumps up, does like a windmill hook, throws some crazy ass shot, and his teammates looking like, nigga, what the fuck are you doing? And that was the look on their face, like, man, here this nigga go again. You know what I mean? And so they was talking about to where it's like kind of fucking up the team chemistry because they know sometimes this nigga gonna get the ball and he just gonna do whatever the fuck he wanna do.
Yeah.
Not saying it's his fault. I place more blame. We were talking about earlier on the coaches.
Right.
You got to reel this motherfucker in.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, that's one thing we do agree on. I think Scott Brooks is a terrible fucking coach, man. Because, like, that can't happen. Like, he's a real talented player. And my main issue with it is when people always try to talk about Westbrook like he just sorry, right?
Oh, no, he's not sorry by no means.
Like, but you listen to some people tell it, they be like, oh well, he need to defer to Durant, and he need to do this, and he need to he turned the ball over too much, and he do this. He do crazy shit on the field because the nigga on the court. I mean, because the nigga is crazy,
right? Just look at the way he dressed.
Yeah, that's the nigga who don't give a fuck.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck. Yeah.
Any nigga who walk out the house with like a lime green plaid sport coat, right. Nigga, some crochet pants,
nigga, with some glasses with no lenses in them.
Like,
yeah. Who does that?
That's a nigga who don't care, yeah. Right? So the issue is like on the court, how do you know what I'm saying, get the most out of them? And like one of the things that I noticed when I watched them is like, I don't know what the fuck their offense is. They don't really run no set plays. A lot of their offense looks like, okay, get a ball to Durant, and then Durant create some shit, right? Mm-hmm. Or Westbrook, go ahead, create some shit. Do whatever, right? Versus like, okay, we're going to come down, you know what I'm saying, we're going to run this set, or this, you know what I'm saying, we got this movement going on here, blah, blah, blah. We're going to wish we get the open man, hit the open cutter, or some shit like that. They just be like, they be out there playing pickup.
Well, see, that was the thing they was talking about. I mean, they was, every team has set plays, you know what I mean? And they was saying to where when he gets the ball, they can't get to their set plays because he got in his mind, motherfucker, I'm doing what the fuck I want to do. And the funny part about it, this nigga gets mad. Like, when he does that, the crazy shit, when he misses, he get mad. Like, oh, so I'm supposed to make that. Nigga, no! You got, like, 4 or 5 hands in your face. You throwing shit up. You get mad because you didn't make it. I could have told you probably wasn't going to make it. You know? So, I mean, I don't know, man. It's I think what actually fucked that whole team up is when he got hurt this year, and Durant went on his fucking tear. They was like, okay, this nigga is capable of doing this shit. So we seen what Durant can do, because now it's funny, now that Westbrook has came back and the Heat has went on their run, all the MVP talk has switched over to LeBron now, or back to LeBron. So it's like, and they had the best record at that time, too. So it's like, I mean, I don't want to say the proof is in the pudding, but it's like they were talking about how the chemistry is fucked up because they just be standing around this nigga doing his crazy shit. And when Durant was, you know, leading the team with the ball and shit, it was a whole different type of team. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, it's kind of hard. We got to see what they do when they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure. Because one thing that I think is for certain is that I don't think they can win a championship with just Durant. I think it's too many other good teams with too many other good pieces.
Right.
Because like last year, Durant averaged 30 points, 9 rebounds a game in that in that Grizzlies series, and they still came up short.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like if you look at that team, they don't really have a lot of other offensive weapons other than Westbrook. But that goes back. What's up?
I'm gonna cut you off. No, sir. That's why they should have kept Harden, homie.
They couldn't afford to keep all of them though.
I mean, you got to work something out, homie.
Well, because Harden as a six, he was a six man though.
Yeah, he was a six, but you could have slid him into the fuck. He's better than any of the other guys that at that position,
but
on his team.
But see, it's tough too in terms of fit because, like, well, he got a max contract. You can't pay three niggas max contracts. And like, even in terms of fit, like he's a ball dominant player.
Yeah.
Durant's a ball dominant player. Yeah. Russie's a ball dominant. You can't have three ball dominant niggas on the field or the court right at the same time, though.
Because when they went to the finals, they had Harden on that team.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's not a coincidence as soon as they get rid of him.
But
I
as
mean,
a sixth man, though. Because, like, yeah, that, I mean, if that's your depth, if you have a dude who's a legit NBA superstar mm-hmm. coming off the bench, so when Durant yeah. when Durant sits down, yeah, you yeah, still yeah, have yeah, offense yeah. coming mm-hmm. in, like, that's hard to beat. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So it was tough, but it goes back to coaching though with Russie, because it's like, yo, anytime he do that shit, like every play is not a fast break. That's what right, you gotta yeah. learn. The nigga think, oh, I got the ball? We got the time to go. Yeah. Like when he does that shit, you gotta have the balls to sit him down and be like, hey, young fella, come have a seat next to me. Mm-hmm. And then explain to him why the shit he right. just did was wrong.
Yeah.
To be fair, they may have been doing that for the last however many years, mm-hmm. and he just crazy and he don't get it.
Right, yeah.
So
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he remind me like a Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
You know, he got speed and shit. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Fuck it, I'm going to use my speed trying to get to the hoop regardless who there.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the circumstances, I'm still going to jack these motherfucking shots up or whatever the case may be. I'm like, man, you got to relax, homie.
Right.
I need to go some Prozac or something. Shit.
Calm that nigga the fuck down. Yeah. All right. Last thing with the NBA, man. Mark Cuban came out. Spitting some good knowledge this past mm-hmm. week. He a smart motherfucker, man.
That's why motherfucker got a gang of money. You ever watch Shark Tank?
I don't watch it too much. I've seen it before, but I don't watch it too much.
That Shark, on the real, that's one of the best shows on TV.
Is it?
Yeah, because you know what, man? Because if you really don't know about business and shit, you can learn a lot of shit. Because they talk about percentages and what you value your company at, and motherfuckers coming in, like, they start laughing and shit. How the fuck you gonna value your company at, you know, 4.5 million? You ain't really social, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so it's crazy because he turned a gang of shit down, but when he get, you know, interested in shit, I'm like, okay, this must be something good, because he's, like, really fighting to get this shit. Mark Cuban's a smart motherfucker, homie.
Yeah. He came out this past week and said the NBA needs to, instead of having a age rule for mm-hmm. players entering the draft, they need to start looking at growing the developmental league and making mm-hmm. that a place for players to go and play. He says, what I think will end up happening, and this is my opinion, not that of the league, is if the colleges don't change from the one and done, we'll go after the one, Cuban said. The NCAA rules are so hypocritical, there's absolutely no reason for a kid to go to college because he's not going to class and he's actually not even able to take advantage of all the fun because the first semester he starts playing basketball. That's so real, man.
It is.
So if the goal is to just go to graduate to the NBA or to be an NBA player, go to the D League, mm-hmm. right? Under the NBA's current collective bargaining agreement, you got to be 1 year out of high school and 19 years old to play in the league. However, the minimum age for the D League is 18.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Cuban would like to see the NBA take steps to make the D-League more of an attractive alternative for players who intend to spend only one season playing college basketball. What do you think?
You know what? It's crazy. You know how much money they would make off
exactly,
that shit?
Exactly! That's the thing!
You can promote that shit, homie, so it's so easy to do it, too.
Yeah!
You know what I mean? Because you're getting the top recruits, and but like you said, the NBA, I mean, the NCAA ain't gonna have that shit.
Right.
It's gonna be a fight on the NBA hands, but I think it's something that they can pursue, and I think the NBA probably may be able to pull this shit off.
They could do it, homie. It would be such a moneymaker mm-hmm. because, like, first of all, you'd have, instead of the D League being dudes barely hanging on or mm-hmm. trying to get in the league, it'd mm-hmm. be like minor league baseball. Minor yeah. league baseball makes money because yeah. people come out to mm-hmm. see, people got to watch Mike Trout when he was coming
right.
up as
yeah.
a farmhand, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's people in Mobile, Alabama who are still Padres fans because they saw Jake Peavy
right.
as a minor leaguer. Mm-hmm. Then when he got to the big leagues, you're still a fan of him, right? So you
right.
can grow your sport into cities like, yo, San Diego should have a D-League team.
I was about to say that. We'd be the perfect spot for a D-League team.
Mm-hmm.
The perfect spot. Yeah.
You build your fan base.
Yeah. That's smart, homie.
Yeah. it is, homie. I don't know. I think the NBA and NCAA have I don't know if it's like an actual agreement, but like an unspoken agreement. Where
I think
it's
unspoken.
Yeah, because they get free, basically it's free labor for mm-hmm. the NBA. It's like mm-hmm. you take our players that are going to be with us in a year, develop them for 1 year,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, or whatever, and then you know, we'll make the money off of them. Meanwhile, y'all can make money for a year with the tournament and the hype and all mm-hmm. that. And then, you know, because nobody would watch college basketball if the best players didn't didn't stay at least for a year, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, no, I would still watch this fucking tournament and shit. Mm-hmm. But I mean, because if you think about it, how many kids are actually will come from high school to go to the D-League? It'll probably be a handful each year. But it ain't gonna be like 20. You know what I mean? 30. No, it's gonna be a handful each year, maybe less than that. But I don't know, man. It's a good idea, man. I mean, like you said, these motherfuckers just going there. They ain't taking no classes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then they coming straight to the NBA. And then on top of that, you're able to develop these kids and not have to draft them when you're out of college. You not really know what you're getting.
Man, exactly, homie. And that's what Cuban touched on. He says, you don't have to pretend. We don't have to pretend. A major college has to pretend that they're treating them like a student athlete. And it's a big lie. We all know it's a big lie, at least at most schools. Not all. But we could put more of an emphasis on their education. We're basically saying, like, let the ones who want to go to school, go to school.
Yeah,
let them focus on education. We can do all kinds of things that the NCAA doesn't allow. And he was even talking about, like, bringing them to the D-League and, like, paying for them to go to school. Like, would you actually get to go to school?
Yeah, though, while you play. Okay, yeah,
versus trying to, like, right now, like, we're looking at this game, Ohio State and Indiana. Like, yo, man, Ohio State's on the road in Indiana. Nigga, how you doing your studies?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, how you getting all your schoolwork done? How you studying for, you know, an exam that you got next week?
Mm-hmm. Because they got Becky taking it for them.
Pretty much. And Cuban made a real good point about the whole one and done thing. He says his biggest concern about one and done prospects is they're often not mentally and emotionally and psychologically prepared for the NBA after spending only one season in a college environment. That's the main thing, man. Yeah. You take 19-year-old kids and put them in a locker room of 35-year-old men, right? That's a huge, and then you ask them to come be professionals, like, you know what I'm saying, this is your job every day, you got, they kids, man. Yeah,
it's hard, homie, it's hard.
All while paying them millions of dollars on top of it, so why not, I think they should do what baseball does, develop a farm system, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I don't know, because the NCAA got a lot of power, homie, so I don't know how, if it's realistic, you know, that they can achieve this. As far as, you know, getting to that point where they, you know, they getting them in straight out of high school. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if they can, if they win that fight with the NCAA, homie, I mean, the sky's the limit for the NBA.
Yeah.
Shit.
He says, it says Cuban's preference is that the NBA minimum age limit move to 21 and 3 years out of high school. However, he can envision lowering the age limit for players who go to the D-League. I think that's big, too. Okay. If you're going to have an age limit, make it more than just 1 year out. Because what does that do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's how it is in football and baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You go to college, you got to stay 3 years.
Yeah. Well, baseball, you have the option to go right out of high school, though. Like, you could get
drafted. Yeah, okay, that's true.
But I think that's what the NBA should do. It's like, if you're like a Jabari Parker, if you're like this dude Gordon in Arizona, like, yo, you're obviously, in high school, we can recognize that you're an NBA talent.
Right.
Like, if you're like, look, I don't want to go to school for a year when I know I'm being the NBA, like, I'm gonna go to the D League for 2 years, or go develop.
Until I get them, tell them ready.
Yeah,
man, that's good. That's some good shit right there. I can't wait to see this shit bubble up.
Yeah, I think it's gonna turn into something, man. You know, and likewise, if you decide, hey, I'm not quite ready, but I'm gonna go to school, right? Yes. Even if, let's say you go to college and you develop into a good player, okay, but you still gotta stay for that 3 years. Right. You know what I mean? Once you go, I don't have a problem with that.
And not even see, I think the NCAA is dumb to not even acknowledge this issue. Mm-hmm. Because if you think about it, when was NCAA basketball at its peak? When they had the Allen Iversons and the Ray Allens, and they there, you know, three, four years.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could see them develop, you know what I mean? Oh, next year, Ray Allen coming back. And I remember that's what I used to watch the Big East tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They was off the chain.
You saw Camby was out there. Which school
he
went
to? He went to UMass.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All of mean shit like that.
Shit was good.
Yeah, it was some good shit. Because Tim Duncan and all that.
Oh, yeah. You had talented players staying for longer, right? Mm-hmm. But then once you had these dudes, you had, really, NBA owners are the ones who fucked it up. Because they were like, oh, I'll draft this kid out of high school first overall. Yeah. So if you a kid out of high school, you see the nigga last year went in the first round or in the lottery and got millions of dollars. That's true. I'm going to do the same shit.
That's true.
And then you had niggas who really wasn't good enough to be entering the draft. And
Kwame Brown.
Yeah, man. Imagine how his career could have been different if he would have went to college for 3 years, you know, had the like that maturity, that development, you know what I mean? Yo, he had Jordan calling him the F word and shit.
I don't know about that, nah.
You hear about that? Okay, because you know Jordan drafted him and shit to the
right.
And then Jordan came back, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know how intense Jordan is and shit. Mm-hmm. There's that practice and shit. He was getting on him and like basically Kwame Brown was going out like a punk. Mm. Called him a faggot.
I did not know about that, homie.
Yeah, I'm
well.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that's Jordan, nigga. Fuck you. Jordan, man, that's crazy.
Jordan's an asshole.
Yeah. That's crazy.
He made him cry in practice.
He made him cry?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know about that. Damn, Jordan. That's fucked up.
Yeah, he called him a flaming faggot.
Oh my god, Jay. See, it's crazy because none of that shit. I mean, I didn't even know about that.
Oh, you know? Nah. See, because, man, like I say, when football ends, I follow the NBA pretty tough. You know my stepdad, he a huge Lakers fan.
Right, yeah, that's true.
My uncle's on my mom's side is diehard basketball fan.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, I follow the NBA pretty close. And my uncle's on my mom's side, they crazy Jordan fans, homie. Mm-hmm. You can't tell them nothing wrong about Jordan, homie.
Ooh, I can't wait to see your Uncle Ron. I'll be like, LeBron's better than Jordan.
Oh, I'll be telling them that all the time.
All right.
And the thing about my Uncle Nolan, you know, his son is like 22. Mm-hmm. He loved LeBron. Mm-hmm. And so his son
be going, ooh, I can only imagine that one. That's funny, homie.
Yeah, here it is. I found the article. It's talking about Jordan. This is from a book, When Nothing Else Matters, Michael Jordan's Last Comeback, is a book chronicling when Jordan came back.
Mm-hmm.
He said Jordan ritually reduced Brown to tears in front of them in practice, and more reprehensibly, constantly referred to Brown as a flaming faggot. So he did it more than once? Damn!
Yeah, so that sounded like that Jonathan Martin shit.
Yeah, Jordan's an ass, homie. It's crazy that he was... Never, the way he was covered is just mind-boggling.
Because he was one of the greatest of all time, so they swept the gang shit under the rim.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
But that just speaks to, man, like, imagine if Kwame Brown had time to develop the maturity and, like, the confidence that comes with growing up, you know what I mean?
That's what he had to deal with, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got thrust into fucking dealing with Jordan's crazy old ass. So, yeah, man, like, let these niggas, and that's the other thing, too, if they want to go to school, man, because, like, going to school for 1 year as a basketball player is faulty because as soon as you get there in the fall, you can't really take a full load of classes because basketball season is starting.
Okay, yeah.
So it's hard, man. And then even in the spring semester, it's like, well, shit, that's the heart of your season is right now. Then if you get in the tournament. So, like, the only opportunity you have to really take advantage of the education the most is, like, summer and a little bit of the fall.
Yeah.
So, some niggas actually might want to go to college who are good basketball players. Yeah. Let them go. Stay for 3 years. Like, let the niggas who just want to be basketball players, let them go make their money in the minor leagues, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to see, like I said, this is going to come to a head eventually. We're going to see who's going to win this battle. I hope it's the NBA.
Yeah, I think they will, man. I think in the next 5 years we're gonna be talking about how you know they made this transition to developing their own minor league system. Mm-hmm. Speaking of college basketball, man, real quick, not much going on college basketball this week. Just a quick San Diego State update. They won their two games last week, bounced back from that loss.
Yeah,
but excuse me, they got two more games before the year's over. They'll get New Mexico one more time at home to close out the year. They got to win that so they can make sure they win the Mountain West
championship.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that'll win the regular season conference.
Yeah.
And then they got the tournament too.
Yeah.
So, like, they need to win all that, honestly, because, like, they'd be getting fucked over when it comes to seeding.
Yep, sure does.
Like, after that loss, they already got dropped, man. And, they have them in the West bracket as of right now, projected to be a 4 seed. Mm-hmm. But, right, they were a 2 seed a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they got Creighton, a team they beat already, as a 2 seed.
And you know what's crazy? They were talking about the same thing about Kansas. Like, they beat Kansas on the road.
Yeah.
So, come on, man.
Yeah, it's like, how are you going to have them as a lower? How are you going to put Kansas as a higher seed than... Mm-hmm. Even if you... I mean, obviously, I prefer that they be in the West bracket. Mm-hmm. Than in the Midwest or something like that, but I mean, I want the highest seed possible, too.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, Kansas is a 2 seed in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego State is a 4 seed in the West. You know what I'm saying? Like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It's because we get jacked. Anytime, mm-hmm. like, any little loss, we
it's
get
all
jacked.
Politics, man. It's all politics. Yeah. Money, all that shit.
So, yeah, they definitely need to win out this year, win the Mountain West regular season, mm-hmm. then win the tournament, too. Mm-hmm. They'll finish up with, like, 20 wins, 20 or so wins,
mm-hmm.
2 losses. Like, they'd have to be a 2 or 3 season right. at that point.
Mm-hmm. But you never know.
Yeah, that's true.
You never know.
Yeah, ain't no telling, man, the way we
get. Fuck the Masters.
Nope, I want to see Tiger. I only watch it to see Tiger Woods win. Make him mad.
Gonna make some collard greens, fried chicken.
I say, I know that nigga did just say that. Oh, they hate Tiger Woods so much, huh,
man?
Because he's better than them at their sport, mm-hmm. and he fucked their women.
Yeah, right. So,
they just be like, this nigga.
Right.
Alright, college football, not much cooking, man, but, did you hear the story about Ohio State getting caught up on recruiting violations?
No.
They got hit with some janky recruiting violations. I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about with NCAA basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA in general is just all fucked up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Urban Meyer, well, the first recruiting violation, well, there's a lot of them in this story, but one of them was Urban Meyer was at lunch with Tim Tebow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then a recruit called him, like, mm-hmm. called his phone. He answered, he's like, what's up? No, I'm just sitting here having lunch with Tim Tebow. You want to talk to him? Say hi. Tebow gets on the phone. Hey, what's up, man? How you doing? Da-da-da. Right? The kid ended up going to LSU anyway, so it don't matter. But that's apparently a recruiting violation. Right?
You kidding me?
And then some other recruiting violations came, like, because apparently the coaches were butt-dialing, recruits, because like all the calls that they make to recruits and shit have to be go through an app, right?
Mm.
Like you have to do it through an app so the NCAA can track how often you're calling, what time
right,
you're calling.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I guess them niggas was pocket dialing recruits, and the calls you could tell because the calls would be like like 1 second or 1 minute each or some shit like mm-hmm. that. Yeah, 6 of the 7 calls were for 1 minute or less. So, and the other was a 2 minute call or less.
See, this is going too far, huh?
Yeah. But, and it says the coaches were unaware that the calls had taken place until the recruiting software flagged the calls. So they look, and, you know, it's probably like hitting the, you know, like the last kid you talked to or whatever,
right.
put your phone back in your pocket, and then it, you know, you bump your phone or something, it touches it, it dials.
Right.
It dials. And no, that's a recruiting violation.
That's unbelievable, homie.
But, like, this shit is crazy to me because, like, okay, so this is a violation, right? Which is fucking dumb. But if the coach buys a kid who ain't got no money a fucking hamburger, that's a recruiting violation.
Yeah.
Like, everything's a fucking recruiting violation.
That's crazy, you know?
This shit is stupid,
man. Yeah, that's why when your kids eat too much pasta at a function, you gotta report the shit.
That's a violation now, right?
That's crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man. It just points out the stupidity of the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
I think, homie, the NCAA is going to become irrelevant soon. Watch.
It is. It is, eventually.
I think the schools will be like, you know what, man? We don't need y'all. We're just going to do whatever we want to do.
Yep.
Form our own league.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Call it whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if you can't call it NCAA football, but just call it, you know,
college football. Football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have, you know, all, no host bar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pay for players,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Kids can get extra benefits. Mm-hmm. Like,
and it's gonna happen because what's gonna happen is it's something, it's gonna be a situation. You know, I thought the Johnny Manziel shit was gonna, you know what I'm saying, get the ball rolling, but it's gonna be a situation like that where everybody's like, oh, hell no, we ain't standing for this shit no more.
Right.
And that's just, it's gonna be soon because, I mean, college sports is up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, it's gonna happen where it, I'm telling you, it's gonna happen to a traditional SEC school.
You think so?
That's the only way it's gonna get the shit rolling because they love their shit down there.
Yeah.
We lost bowl jangles because of all hell no. Yeah, they gonna get the ball.
Hey, they would start their own league.
Yeah.
Just call it SEC football,
yeah.
And then just have their own league, their own TV contracts.
Yeah.
Say fuck what y'all talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you, man. I think it's gonna happen. It'll happen to a white kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Once some injustice happens to a white person, then that'll be, you know. Because, like, nobody said shit when Dez Bryant lost his eligibility just for going to talk to Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, right.
Like, there's no extra, they couldn't prove any extra benefit or anything like that. He just went and talked to him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they asked him about it, he lied. And then they said, oh, well, you lose all your eligibility for the rest of the year. Like, what? Come on, man. Go somewhere with that.
Yeah, man. This shit is just horrible.
Let's see. One last thing related to NCAA, man. Apparently, Barry Switzer is old and grumpy. He just talking shit. I love it when old men start talking. Yeah, just start talking to an old man. They start saying all kind of crazy shit.
Hell yeah.
He voiced an opinion about Johnny Manziel this past week on the radio. He said, first of all, I'd have a long talk with Johnny before I draft him. I haven't had that opportunity. I've said some negative things about him, but at the same time, I've said some great positive things about him. I love his ability, Switzer said. I've always said I'd never recruit a white quarterback. The only way I'd ever recruit a white quarterback to play for me is if his mommy and daddy would have to both be black.
That's some good shit, homie. That is some good shit.
Oh, right, I gotta read that again in my Barry Switzer Talk Country.
Huh?
Does Barry Switzer talk country?
Hell yeah.
Hey, man, I always say I never recruit a white quarterback, okay? Only way I ever recruit me a white quarterback to play for me is if his mom and daddy both was black.
You know, he had to catch himself, too. He almost said niggas. I mean, black. That's what I meant to say.
My quarterback's a quarterback, a fullback offense. How the wishbone was, I'd have to have Jameel Holloway, J.C. Watts, Thomas Locke.
Yes, see?
Those guys are going to be my quarterbacks. Great runners, great ball carriers, and able to pass. Those guys can throw and run.
Oh, Slave Master voice.
That's good. Hey, but he's right, though. Homie, like, why? Like, on a real, real shit. At this point in the game, why are you still recruiting big, slow, white quarterbacks?
Yeah, I don't know.
It makes no sense to me.
Trying to keep him relevant?
I guess. I don't understand, like, the coaches, even, like, in college where you say, oh, that's my model quarterback. I want a big, slow guy who's got a strong arm. Because at that point, you're one-dimensional. All you can do is throw the ball real far. Mm-hmm. But I can find another kid who's super athletic and can throw the ball just as far as you. Mm-hmm. Or even, let's say, okay, he throws the ball 10 yards shorter than you. Mm-hmm. Fine, but he brings all this other shit to the table.
So I deal with that.
You know what I mean? Like,
if you look at Don Robert, a lot of these teams got black quarterbacks, homie. Mm-hmm. A gang of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they ain't getting drafted.
Right. That's what it is.
But, man, I'm telling you, within the next, like, I'm telling you, man, before, what is it, 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Before 2020, I mean, we're going to see a lot of these black quarterbacks in the NFL, homie. It's going to be majority black quarterbacks. I mean, like you said, you're going to have no choice but to. The proof is going to be in the pudding.
Mm-hmm. So, either that or just athletic. Because, like, even Andrew Luck, like, his athleticism is off the charts. Yeah. But, it's going to be all quarterbacks who are like that versus quarterbacks who are like Tom Brady. You know what I mean?
Because
mm-hmm. I think even at the lower levels, you know, starting in Pop Warner, rather than taking that kid who's big and strong and fast and making him a defensive end or a tight end or a receiver, you put him at quarterback and let him rock with him. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that was one of the things that's always been done is like, okay, let me take the kid. This kid is fast and strong and got a good arm, but I'm gonna play him a defensive end, or a wide receiver, or some shit. And so he spends his whole life playing that when he could have been a great quarterback.
Yeah, just like with LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
He probably could have been an ill quarterback.
That nigga would have been sick. I think he played receiver in high school.
He played receiver.
What did he run in high school? Like a 4.5 or something?
Something
a 4.4?
Like that, yeah.
That's, see, that nigga, homie, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm going over to my uncle's house today because my cousin's birthday, my cousin's son's birthday is party today. I'm going to go there and talk shit about how LeBron James is better than Michael Jordan.
Better athlete. No,
yeah, better athlete. I'm like, you know, he ran like a 4.4 40 in high school.
And Michael
Jordan couldn't even hit a baseball.
Yeah, yeah. And say he didn't get cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know he didn't get cut in high school. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew that, man. Yeah, Michael Jordan got cut, man. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was timed at 4.4 running the 40, homie. At 6'8".
No way. No fucking way.
Can you imagine him on a football field, homie, as a quarterback? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be unstoppable.
Then you think Cam Newton is a freak of nature, man.
Oh, shit. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even make it through the rest of the article. but yeah, he's basically saying he don't like Johnny Manziel because he a fuck up, a renegade. Which I mean,
that's my issue to a certain extent. Yeah, but I mean, like I said, man, the dude, hey, I like to watch motherfuckers on the field. He put in work in big games. That's my thing. In big games, he showed up.
So did Tim Tebow.
Oh, man, you know what? In that last national championship, I remember he threw two. And the thing was, he threw two first half picks. I remember one of the picks was when the defensive tackle dropped back in the coverage. You threw it right to him. I said, oh, I said, that's uh-huh. when I said, I said, oh, no, he's not ready, homie.
Yep.
It's like he didn't even see him. He said, oh, here you go. Oh, wait, damn. Oh, that big motherfucker. You didn't see that fat motherfucker?
Right.
Yeah, you're not ready, homie. So, I mean, it is what it is.
I feel you. We'll see where Johnny Manziel gets drafted. We just know that Barry Switzer wouldn't have drafted him.
Hey, real shit.
Oh, yeah, that's good. All right, man, that's it for the sports stories this week. Unless you got anything else?
Hey, remember what I said earlier? Whatever you put on the agenda, you know what I mean? We can talk, like I said, we talk about all the bitches, crusty toes, I don't give a fuck.
No, we don't talk about that. That's unacceptable.
Okay.
Certain basic.
It's speed down, bitch.
Right, basic level of maintenance you need to maintain for yourself.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right, that brings us into crazy ass stories, man. We got a lot this week, some good ones, man. So we're gonna get right to them. This is one you sent me last week. I messed up and didn't put it on the agenda, but the Angels pulled a $52 million contract to offer to Matt Garza because he was on vacation.
Yeah.
What?
Yep, yep.
According to MLB's Adam McClavey, Los Angeles Angels offered Garza a 4-year contract worth $52 million when he was on vacation with his wife in Turks and Caicos. Garza didn't want to discuss the new deal, and when he failed to respond to the Angels in a timely manner, they pulled the offer. This nigga's dumb.
He's dumb. Huh? That ain't got nothing to do with the Angels.
At all.
Man, I said, hey, you know what? This is your job, homie.
Yeah!
You know what I mean? If my job called me right now, and I mean, I don't care where I'm at. I'm in my son's game. And I knew that, you know, I said, hey, well, I'm going to give you a call. We're going to discuss, you know, about our money. Best believe I'm picking up that phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And would you rather, he's going to sign up with Milwaukee, right? Would you rather play in Milwaukee or Orange County?
Anaheim by far, homie.
You know what I mean? Come on, man. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Fuck it, that's what you get.
That's but you know that's what it is? That's a lot of arrogance right there.
No, man. You know what it is?
Huh.
Here's his wife.
Oh, I bet you it was.
You better not pick up that phone. No pussy for the rest of the vacation. That's what happened.
He was looking at his phone, looking at his girl.
Yeah.
Look at
that's what happened.
That's crazy.
Huh?
Fuck that. You take that call, homie.
Hell yeah. Or, bitch, you ain't getting no more Gucci purses in.
Or at least, I mean, that's what you have an agent for, though, right? Like, yeah. if nothing else, you can text your agent. Like, if they send the offer, it's, you know, however many years, 52 mm-hmm. million, and you like Anaheim, that's a good fit, you text your agent, tell him it's a deal. That's all you gotta do, right? And then you
can't even do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's just being an arrogant asshole, homie.
It was his wife, homie. We on vacation. Man, don't pussy.
I'm like, bitch, you see this beautiful, clear, crystal clear water? Right. We enjoy it. You know why? Because I be out there throwing strikes.
Right.
You won't be out there playing long toss, running poles. I did that.
Real shit. I'm taking this phone call.
Right.
Shit.
If you don't like it, leave.
Right. You can get replaced.
Matter of fact, go ahead. Divorce me now. Right. So that way you can't get half of the $52 million.
Real shit. Oh, that's funny.
You can spare me being on the phone for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
shit.
Dumb bitch. That's funny, you
know. Oh, shit. All right, next one, man. This one came from, I don't know if it came from Calvin or Bob. One of them sent this. Whoever sent it, whichever one of y'all sent it, thank you for it. I can't remember who sent it. I forgot to note it. Apparently, a Louisville football recruit was arrested after impregnating his cousin.
Boom!
you weren't ready for that, huh?
Oh, that caught me off guard, Robert.
This nigga had to walk all the way out the dining room. He wasn't ready for it.
That caught me off guard. Unbelievable.
3-star Louisville football recruit Sharif Rahim Muhammad was arrested Monday on felony charges of lewd and lascivious behavior after allegedly impregnating his 14-year-old cousin.
Oh, whoa.
Dang.
Now, that ain't funny now.
It's not. But I'm still getting these jokes out. Look at this nigga's picture. He looked like a racist.
No, hell yeah.
Oh, that's sad, homie. This ass whooped.
Yeah, he really do. The teen girl's mother told police she bought a pregnancy test and confronted her daughter in October after seeing her daughter acting strangely. The mother said her daughter began crying, saying she had sex with Raheed Muhammad. The girl said she was 11. Oh, my God. 11 when Raheed Muhammad began touching her inappropriately. Hold on. So he is, you figure he's like 17.
So yeah, he was 14 at the time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's 14 now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's 3 years. Yeah. Dang, that's crazy, though.
Raheed Muhammad.
Well, how old is he?
He's got it. Well, if he's a high school recruit, I don't know.
Well, he'd be either probably 17 or 18.
Yeah.
Dang, that's sad, homie.
Yeah, that's fucked
but
up.
But you know what, though, homie? That's why, man, even around your family, homie, you just gotta watch your kids.
You know what's funny, man? Like, I have this argument with my son's mom all the time. Mm-hmm. She's always like, oh, I just leave RJ with so-and-so this now. I'm like, no. Those, like, it's never a fucking stranger that comes and abuses your kid. Yeah. It's somebody who you know and you mm-hmm. trust, mm-hmm. and then it doesn't cross your mind right. that, oh, this person might do something fucked up. Mm-hmm. I don't trust nobody. Really? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if it's not my mom, I barely trust her mom. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and then her or me, if it's not one of those, like, people, I really don't want my son with anybody else.
Yeah, I feel you, homie. Because I got a policy at my house on me, no closed doors.
And real shit.
You know what I mean? And I know some people, they be like, they be okay with that shit. I said, oh, no, homie, fuck that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear all the noise. I don't give a fuck about
mm-hmm.
no noise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, you don't want your motherfucking daughter coming talking about she pregnant by your by her cousin.
Exactly.
Yeah, fuck that. That's crazy, homie. That's sad.
It is, man.
Yeah, his ass whooped, homie.
Make no sense.
Your cousin. I mean, even if it wasn't his cousin, you can't be fucking 11-year-old.
11-year-old girl?
That's crazy.
All right, man. Let's take it to a little lighter note.
Man. Who sent that shit?
I don't know.
Fucking Bob. Or it's probably Calvin. Because Calvin got all the time.
Hey, our tax dollars are at work helping produce the show, though. I fuck with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On a lighter note, Chad Johnson said he tried to fight Ray Lewis a couple times.
That nigga crazy, don't we?
Chad Johnson felt like telling some stories on Twitter Thursday night, recalling how he almost fought Ray Lewis twice. Mm-hmm. The 6-time Pro Bowler claimed he once waited outside the locker room for Lewis after a game, and Ed Reed had to talk him out of putting these paws on. Okay, nigga. Johnson also tweeted that he tried to fight Lewis before another game, but Marvin Lewis intervened and broke up. And these are his tweets from good old Ocho Cinco. He says, I remember waiting for Ray Lewis outside the locker room after a game for knocking my helmet off unnecessarily. He went out the side door. Ed Reed had to talk me out of putting these paws on Ray. The second time we played the Ravens, I caught Ray slipping in a pregame. I stepped to him. He started preaching. I was like, the Lord can't help you. So I square up ready to go from the shoulders, and Ray is steadily reciting scripture, and I'm ready to rumble. I'm like, let's run it. What the fuck? Long story short, Marvin Lewis broke it up and saved Ray from getting beat up pregame. Okay, homie. First of all, you lucky Ray Lewis is a man of God.
Right, yeah, no, about to say that.
Because, like, you know what, props to Ray, because both times, like, a lesser nigga would have been like, where the nigga at? Where that skinny little nigga at?
But you know what, though? He knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
He knew it was Ray wasn't going to do shit, because, you know, like you said, he a man of God, he humble and shit, you know what I mean? But take it back to that year when he was in the limo when niggas got stabbed.
Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't have did it then.
Nobody was fucking with Ray back in, what's that, like, 2000?
Yeah, Killer Ray. That was Killer Ray.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ray Lewis got crazy ass family. Anybody who got an uncle with a jerry curl, who wear tight jeans and take a jersey in, and raps? Yeah. I know, it's crazy. I'll be trying to find that shit on the internet. I cannot find that shit nowhere, Rob.
I'll look for it again.
You gotta look for it. Hey, if anybody can find this shit, I swear this is probably the funniest shit you will ever see in your life. Look up Ray Lewis The Life on ESPN. And watch when his uncle was rapping and dancing. That's where he got the Ray Lewis dance from. He got it from his uncle. This shit is hilarious.
He said the jersey tucked into the pants.
Yeah, his belly was all out and shit. He had a jerry curl. Like, nigga, who wear white jeans?
Old black men don't be caring. Yeah. Old black men that seen too much. They don't give a fuck.
I sure don't. But yeah, Chad Johnson tripping on me. Ray Lewis would have whooped his ass.
He's dumb, man. He married any nigga who marries Evelyn Rosado now. Mm. You obviously a dumb nigga. Because, look, I don't even watch Basketball Wives, but I've seen a couple episodes. Yo, homie, you see one or two episodes of that show, you know, okay, I'm not fucking with that bitch.
Yeah, bitch is a firecracker.
Homie. I would smash. Yeah. But that, yeah, like, yeah. That's it. I'm not marrying her. Mm-mm. I'm not making her my girl. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. He wifed her.
Yeah. And she on there crying. He abused me. Shut your ass up. You was probably beating the shit out that dude. So crazy ass. Yeah. Talking shit, calling all kind of names.
Didn't he like headbutt her or some
shit? That's what she said, allegedly. So I don't know what happened. I don't believe nothing coming out of her mouth.
Yeah, me neither. Well, it looked like Chad Johnson got a big ass head. That looked like it could be from a headbutt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, damn. I never seen that picture.
But who knows, man?
She might have did the shit herself.
Hey, she's crazy.
She's crazy, yeah.
Ain't no telling.
You ever see her daughter?
No.
Her daughter bad too, homie. She going to college, I think, somewhere in LA. She's a bad little bitch.
I wouldn't fuck with her because her mama crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wait, hold on. See, this is what happens when you go on the internet. You start finding shit.
Oh, nigga.
Carl Crawford got this bitch pregnant?
Who?
Evelyn.
That's why a nigga slid like that.
He banged his hand on the face. Damn it, nigga, you a dumb motherfucker.
Y'all look up Carl Crawford slide head first in the second base. And you'll understand what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm going to make it the show art, because it's funny.
Man, but hey, I didn't know that, homie.
I don't know if it's true or not. It's on a gossip site.
He's probably beating it up.
It's stupid, though, man. Like, you don't mess with a chick like that.
Yeah, she went from basketball player to football to baseball. She bitches along.
Yeah, she stayed trying to get drafted, homie. Yeah, that's it.
I mean, I can't knock her. But, hey, y'all niggas better stay away from her. She don't want no regular niggas like us. No. You trying to cash in.
Niggas with money be thinking with their dicks, homie.
No shit.
Alright, next story, man. Keeping it with the Ravens. Apparently, their young safety has decided to work in a shoe store in the off season.
What size you wear? 10.5 or 11?
Yo, I imagine him having like the Foot Locker referee jersey on and shit.
But you know what's crazy? I don't even know what the nigga look like. So a lot of people might walk in and not even know who he is.
That's true. I don't know what he look like either.
I wouldn't do his shit though.
But okay, the reason why he's doing this was dumb though.
Yeah.
This article is funny. It always like when authors be the way they be writing. Mm-hmm. They kind of be talking shit. As many NFL players will go to malls this offseason, Matt Elam is working at one. Elam is a first-round pick by the Baltimore Ravens in the 2013 draft. He's spending his offseason as a part-time sales associate at Finish Line in Gainesville, Florida, before he returns to the team in April. He says he works about 20 hours a week helping customers with shoes and occasionally stocking shelves. His goal is to open his own sports merchandise store. I just need to get retail knowledge, Elam told the team's website.
That's so you need to get some business knowledge, man.
Right. That's basically what I'm doing. That's the I'm getting that knowledge for when it's time. Yo, here's the thing. It doesn't take any amount of knowledge or experience to learn how to stock a shelf. Exactly. Or, hey, you wear size 13? Okay, I'll be right back.
Right.
You go to the back, you get 13, yeah. You give it to the customer.
Exactly.
That's basic shit.
That's basic shit.
Right? As far as how to manage a payroll, how to manage inventory, doing orders, you know what I mean? Like,
that's what you need to learn.
Right. And you don't learn that shit working as a fucking sales associate with a name tag and shit. Like,
hold on, let me tell y'all something, okay? This is to go show you how simple this shit is. Back in the day, you know what I mean, I used to work at this place called Cow Stores, okay? And for y'all don't know, me and Robert been good friends since we was little ass kids. So, you know, him and the other homie JB, they went to college. I didn't. I was working and shit. So they began to school at like around 11 o'clock, you know what I mean?
11, 12 o'clock would be done with classes.
Yeah, this is how crazy Black Rob is. Black Rob would come to my job. He ain't on the payroll nothing. He would clock in and help customers. I'm not even bullshitting. He'd be like, what's up? What you need? Okay, let me go check. And our supervisor wouldn't trip. She getting free labor out this motherfucker.
Right.
So he don't need to do this shit to learn that aspect of the business. But yeah, he need to go ahead and take his ass, get some business classes or something.
Yeah, man. Like,
what are you going to school for?
I don't even know.
If that was your dream,
right?
What classes are you taking when you went to Florida?
Right. Did you? Not, every school has a business program. Right. I don't give a fuck what school you go mm-hmm. to. You can major in business management, mm-hmm. finance, right?
Right.
You work for a fucking NFL team. The NFL makes more money than any or any business in the world. Go to your owner in the office and be like, hey, I know we have a retail store. Link me up with the manager mm-hmm. or the whoever runs the retail store so right. I can learn like all like these things that I want to learn. This nigga working at Finish Line putting socks on a display and grabbing shoes for niggas.
Makes no sense.
Niggas gonna learn, man. Like, man. Stop being dumb.
Yeah. And you wonder why they clownless.
And you know what? It's good that he's already thinking about like life outside of football and shit he wants to do. He just going about it in the wrong way.
Yeah. Where your people's at?
Oh, man.
Nigga, let me get that discount up.
All right, man. This next one goes back to the NFL again. Now, I ain't never been homeless. I don't ever plan on being homeless. But in the event that I ever end up homeless, I ain't ever gonna be too proud to take some shit. But apparently, some people.
Oh, this shit was good.
Got a lot of pride.
Yeah.
Now, this is an article from SB Nation. It says you can achieve a lot being a good Samaritan unless you're a fan of the San Diego Chargers. Hey, these, I'm telling you, man.
It had to be your team.
I know. A homeless man in Santa Rosa was willing to take some help from a well-meaning stranger. That was until he found out that the stranger was a Chargers fan. A local restaurateur found a homeless man on the stoop of his restaurant and tried to be of help. According to the Press Democrat, Stephen Falando fed the stranger and found out that he was walking in nothing but socks. Falando offered the man his shoes. There was just one problem. They were San Diego Chargers flip-flops. Then his head jerked a little. He said, "Are these Chargers flip-flops?" Falando nodded and noted that though he moved away from San Diego years ago, he's still a Chargers fan. With that, the homeless man handed him back the flip-flops and said, "I'm good." And he walked off in his socks. Oh, shit.
How bad is your teacher where a homeless man would not take a pair of shoes, homie? That got your logo on it.
And then he went bailing down the street in his socks.
Yeah. First of all, homie, how bad is your team for somebody to want to give up your shit and then for the bum to deny your shit?
Yeah. Yo, man. The dude was being nice, right? Look, the Chargers was in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, whatever. Say what you want about our team, this and that. The restaurant owner was being nice. He sees this man in need, gives mm-hmm. him some food. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, "Look, I see you walking around in your fucking flip and on your, right. in your socks, man. Let me help you out. Here's mm-hmm. here's some flip flops. Okay. They just happen to have Chargers logos on them." Like, nah, I don't fuck with that. It's real out here. Yo, where is the line drawn? Like, what other shit would you not take?
Right,
like, you know what I mean? If the owner like owned a sports bar that had all Charger paraphernalia in it, he gave you a cheeseburger. You're like,
"I ain't that hungry, nigga.
You a Chargers fan? I don't eat no Chargers cheeseburgers."
Man.
Oh shit, that's terrible, homie.
It's just funny because when I seen that article, homie, I said out of all the fucking teams, it had to be the Chargers, homie. I was cracking up when I first read that shit.
Oh man, he said, "I ain't fucking with y'all."
Hell nah.
That's fucked up, man.
That's some good shit right there.
That's why you homeless, nigga.
Right. What are other bad decisions this nigga made throughout his life?
Right. Type of nigga turn down some free shoes.
Yeah, you ain't got none. That's crazy.
Fuck that idiot. Alright, our last one. Bob, I know you sent us a couple other crazy ass stories this week. We didn't have time to get to them because the show's running a little long. We're trying to keep the time tight on the show. But if we had a lot of sports crazy stories. So we hit those first.
We should do that one week. It's all sports crazy ass stories only.
We will, because like this time of year, man, it's just slow. So slow, yeah. So we will, man. We will have just a ton of just crazy shit. I mean, we could tell some good ass stories from growing up and the shit we used to do sports related, like right. play basketball at midnight in front of people's house.
Yeah, we got to talk about that one day.
And you know, we'll talk about it next week.
Okay,
that's pretty good. But yeah, man, I'll try to hit those stories. We'll hit them up next week, Bobo. Thank you for sending them anyways, though, man. We appreciate you. The last one we're going to hit this week, man. Yo, the Chargers need to sign this nigga, homie. Because apparently, this dude who robbed 7 gas stations in one night.
He elusive.
Yeah.
You can put that at the combine, nigga.
Yeah. How many gas make that a combine event?
Man.
So, for those who don't know what we're talking about, some dude in San Diego robbed 7 gas stations overnight. Authorities believe the same man may have robbed at gunpoint at least 7 gas stations in the San Diego and Lakeside, with the crime spree starting Tuesday night and continuing into Wednesday. Yo, he was all over Dago, though.
Yeah, he was determined. That nigga, she determined. I do shit. If I had a Benz, I'd hire that nigga.
The first robbery was reported at about 7:45 p.m. Tuesday in Rancho Penasquitos at the mobile gas station on Rancho Penasquitos Road off Interstate 15. San Diego police said a man walked in, showed the clerk a handgun, then demanded cash. At 11:29, a man brandishing a handgun robbed USA Gasoline on Woodside Avenue near Winter Gardens Boulevard in Lakeside, the sheriff's official said. The next robbery was reported just before midnight in Kearny Mesa at the Shell station on Claremont Boulevard on Convoy Street. 10 minutes later, just a few blocks away, the police believe the same man robbed the Chevron station at Chevron station at Claremont Mesa Boulevard near Interstate 805.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, do I know where that's at? Oh yeah, I know where that was at. By the Family Fun Center,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The next theft was reported at Chevron on Balboa Avenue near Convoy Street.
That's so, like right down the street.
Yeah, he was tearing Kearny Mesa up.
Yeah.
Then a Chevron station on Caramel Mountain Road. So I guess he made his way back up north. Near Rancho Penasquitos Drive, and Rancho Penasquitos was hit about 1:40 a.m. Finally, before 2 a.m., a robber walked into the Arco station on Claremont. Then he came back to Claremont Mesa Boulevard off 163.
I think a double back.
And stole cash. The suspect in all of the thefts described as white. In his 20s to 30s, about 6 feet tall, 180 pounds, wearing a black baseball cap and gloves, white shirt and jeans.
That's crazy, yo. Okay, if you think about it, he started in Rancho Penasquitos.
Mm-hmm.
So he started in Northern and North County. He went down east.
Mm-hmm.
He went southeast to Lakeside.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back across, went west, close to the beach, robbed a handful of motherfuckers up there, then went back up north and came back down into Claremont area. Oh, this motherfucker crazy, homie.
How many gas stations did he pass? Like, was he, like, trying to see if that was a good one to rob? He's like, ooh.
You don't know what? It could have been a number of things going on. But I think when he went to Claremont, he just started to say, no, ooh, they're going to gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Break yourself, nigga. Right. You go to the next one. Break yourself. Like, damn, homie.
He hit up, like, 4 in the same area. When I first was reading it, I thought, okay, well, maybe he knew something about the law and was hitting different jurisdictions. Because mm-hmm. what can happen sometimes is, like, okay, so say you hit up a jurisdiction that's, like, that the sheriff's department covers. Mm-hmm. Then you hit up a spot that San Diego PD covers.
Mm-hmm.
Then El Cajon PD covers. Mm-hmm. Then you hit Chula Vista, right?
Right.
The departments, all these different agencies talk to each other, but mm-hmm. if you do it all within a short time frame,
mm-hmm.
they may not realize that they're all looking for the same person
right,
that same
okay.
night. But this nigga was just all over.
He all over the place.
Fuck.
That's crazy.
What's up with the police department? Who's on patrol on Claremont Mesa Boulevard that night?
Them niggas eating donuts.
Nah, they don't eat donuts no more. They eat Carnitas Burritos.
Oh, that's even worse.
They find an all-night taco mm-hmm. shop.
Or they over there finding bitches and shit. That's what San Diego's known for now with our policemen.
They just be being thorough, man. Dang. You gotta make sure you search every nook and cranny.
Excuse me, could you spread your butt cheeks, please, miss, you got about it? That's crazy, you know?
But see, my thing about that shit, man, that's not worth going to jail over. I mean, as far as the cop fondling women.
Yeah, it's dumb. You know, and it's crazy because it don't surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of cops, you know what I mean? They be assholes, and you can just tell, like, oh, this motherfucker think he above the law.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I'm just glad they got caught.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of shit not worth going to jail over, I kept meaning to talk about this again. I keep forgetting to put it on the agenda, but I just want to do an update on Darren Sharper.
Oh, it's gotten worse for this dude.
Yo, this is like, it's getting out of control.
He's like a serial rapist.
Yeah. So we talked about it when it first happened. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, he's been accused of, you know, giving females roofies and, you know, he date raped a woman or two or something like that. Yo, turns out, man, he's like, he's under investigation in it. Florida, Nevada, Arizona, Los Angeles, and New Orleans for rape cases. Let's see if I can find a count of how many different women it is. But I heard it was up in like upwards of 20 or close to 20 different women.
20?
I think. See, I didn't know about that.
I want to make sure I got that right. I could be wrong. But yeah, man, like I said, you know, it made me think of it when we were talking about it. Like, certain shit's just not worth going to jail over, you know what I mean? But with this dude, he very clearly, he has, like, a sexual issue where, like,
yeah.
Like for him, because, like, you know, I'm talking about this shit with somebody else. Like, they're like, well, I don't understand, like, why he needs to date rape him. Why not just go fuck him and his dad? Like, for him, like, it's not the sexual gratification. It's not about the fucking. It's about the power I knocked the bitches unconscious and I'm controlling them. Though. Yeah, it's fucking insane. Yeah, like, right? Like, this dude is, like, going to go down as one of the, like, craziest, like, most notorious serial rapists in history.
And you know? He was a good-ass football player.
That's the thing, you know what I mean? Like, a dude who, by all accounts, did not need to rape anyone, you know what I mean? So, yeah, man. Which just goes to show you, that's why I don't ever leave my drink in the bar unattended, shit, homie. Yeah. And I'm a dude. I'm not worried about nobody raping me. I think I got roofied before, and I'm not letting that shit happen again.
When you think you got roofied?
It was one time way back in the day. Not way back, but back. Remember we used to go downtown with Uncle Larry all the time?
Yeah.
One time I had only one beer. Mm-hmm. But nigga, I was hungover and like blacked out. Mm-hmm. Like I can't remember what bar we went to.
Was I with you?
I think it was you. You was there. Uncle Larry was there. Mm-hmm. Cause like I had my beer.
But you didn't have so many episodes about shit. I can't remember.
What bar was we at? I don't remember. But I was talking to a girl. And I had my bar, my drink at the bar, and I went to go pee. Mm-hmm. Came back, and got my beer. And, like, that was the only beer I had. And, like, I was fucked up. Mm. I woke up the next day, like, I was like, man, like, I kept drinking it throughout the rest of the night. Like, well, after that one beer, I was already fucked up. And I had, like, I kind of remember having a couple more beers. But I don't remember, like, the rest of the night. I don't remember getting home. Like, I just remember waking up, like, in my house.
Yeah, you shouldn't get that fucked up off of three or four beers.
That's what I'm saying, though. And at that time, nigga, my tolerance was immaculate.
Yeah, because we used to get saucy.
Yeah. So that's why I say, like, ever since then, nigga, I don't, everywhere I go, I take my beer with me. You know what I mean? I take my beer in the bathroom. I don't give a fuck.
You got you, homie.
Yeah, because I don't think nobody was trying to drug me to rape me, but, like,
probably. I might have thought it was babies drinking. Yeah. So you never know.
Let's see. I'm trying to find out how many. I don't know. I forget how many that nigga have. I'll look it up and try to have them.
But it's like, I know he has some cases in Florida. You know what I mean? So, Nevada. So, I mean, this motherfucker all over the country. You know what I mean? Doing this shit.
Yeah, and what happens in these cases, man, is like, once one person starts to come forward.
Like everybody else.
They had other women had the courage to come forward. Mm-hmm. Just like with our fucked up mayor out here.
Yeah, he's dumbass. You see the bitch he was fondling, though?
That's what I'm saying. Some shit's not worth going to jail over. You're the mayor of a large metropolitan city. Mm-hmm. You're going to risk that shit off grabbing an ugly bronze ass at work. You know what I mean? Like,
you see the way that nigga look like a joker.
That's why I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for either of them. I didn't like the Mexican dude he was running against, and I didn't like him. So I was like, I'm just not going to vote.
Yeah, it ain't nothing without voting.
Yeah, I don't like... I don't like choosing the lesser of two evils. Yeah, so it's up to 11 women. And that was as of a couple of days ago.
Probably more. Yeah. Probably more. Come on, D-Sharp.
Hey, like you said in episode one, pay for your pussy,
homie. You ain't gotta worry about that shit.
And don't rape people.
Yeah, fuck.
And don't rob gas stations all night long. Fuck.
We had a lot of don'ts this week.
Yeah, man, people gotta learn. We out here to educate people on no winter in San Diego.
Yeah.
That's what we do. Oh man, but yeah, man, that's it for this week, y'all. Thank you again for taking the time to listen, download the show, and fuck with us, man. We really do appreciate it. As always, you can find the show No Winter in San Diego No Winter in San Diego on Podomatic, iTunes, and Stitcher. Hit us up by email, nowinterinsandiego@gmail.com. That's the best way to find us. Hit us up on Twitter, It's in the show notes at the beginning of the show. You could always hit us up that way. The best way is by email, though. Like we always say, man, if you take the time to send us an email, we'll definitely take the time to read it on the show. Sometimes we don't get to all the articles you guys send in, but that's all right, man. We'll get to them when we can, you know, and try to get to them next week. What you think about this week's episode, man?
It was good. We didn't really have no heated debates like we had the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but
it's Charles.
Every week is good.
That's what's the name.
Every week is good, man.
I'm surprised we got almost 3 hours out of no football games to go over.
Yeah, like I said, man, we can talk about shit for hours if you wanted to. One topic.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think there's some good shit to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking forward to listening to it. It takes about 3 days to listen to the shit, but.
That's all right, though. Hours of entertainment. That's what we do for y'all.
Real shit, real shit.
We entertaining the folks here at No Winter in San Diego.
Except for today, man.
What's clearing up? Like the sun trying to poke out a little bit.
Yeah. But see, that's the thing, man. We get 2 days of rain and that's our winter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be sunny again in no time. But that's it for this week, y'all, man. Thank you again, as always, man. Keep spreading the word. Leave us a review on iTunes, man. Go on iTunes, go on Stitcher. Leave us a 5-star review. Let us know what you think. If you listen every week, subscribe to the show. Go on Podomatic, go on iTunes, click that subscribe button. We need more subscribers and we need more reviews. That's all we got for this week, man. We're going to do it again next week and we'll be back with y'all then. That'll be what else you got for the people.
I ain't got shit.
All right, y'all. No Winter in San Diego. We out.
The brown-eyed Scorpio. Number 80 in your program. Number 1 in your heart. I'm from the city of East St. Louis, and that's where I got my start at Mercy. Now, I have a message for all the ladies. And gentlemen, I think you should listen up too. There comes a time in every life we all need a little help. Just like I need a little help from the other members of High Five in order for us to go all the way. Come on, fellas, join me now. I'm the baddest dude a quarterback has ever seen. There's 4 more guys who's got my back. That's why we lead the league in the quarterback sack. Before the day is done, you'll remember.